And we are live. Good evening. This is Katie Hunter from MA UK. I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Emmanuel.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you this evening. And our first guest on is Owen Gallagher. He is one of the Lockhart and Leave nutritionists. He also got Darren Till to 170 or below 170 for his last fight when he was in Champ Camp. So we've got a lot of questions for him. Hi, Owen.
Hi guys, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I've had a lot of questions from friends, a lot of people DM me. You've been one of the most popular guests in terms of advanced questions. No pressure on you.
Not a problem.
So, how long before Darren's fight was announced did you know that it was coming?
I actually found out when everyone else found out. I had heard rumblings, if you want to call it that, but I kind of I always seem to just find out officially when it does get announced. But
Right.
we might have something. It's a lot of back and forward, it's a lot of politicking, so I usually just find out when everyone else finds out.
And when do you know if you're going to be used for the next camp, or do you just are you with him on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, so I went over to Liverpool for the first time ever back in November and just kind of touched base and see where everyone was at. We were looking for something all the way back then, but something didn't materialize until the last few weeks. But it was clear that we would be working together moving forward, and I couldn't be happier.
And tell us how you first started working with him.
So I actually met Darren in July in Vegas during International Fight Week.
Yeah.
He had a like an autograph signing at this fight shop that's in Vegas, the Vegas fight shop. And I went totally just as a fan, like a big fan after watching his few previous fights. And afterwards I was like, okay, he's pretty cool. Obviously there was the weight issue with the Wonder Boy fight.
Yeah.
So I just sent an email to the contact email on his Instagram profile. And, insanely enough, I heard back from Colin Huron, his head coach, within about 12 hours, and that kind of got the ball rolling.
You're going to get his inbox absolutely flooded now.
Yeah. According to Colin, there were several dozen people that did reach out, inquiring for the job, but, they ended up settling with me for whatever reason. I don't think I want to know why, but
Well, tell us about your credentials.
so yeah, I got certified under the Lockhart and Leaf weight cutting protocol in Vegas that weekend. That's why I was there in the first place. I helped them do Paul Felder's weight cut for his fight with Mike Perry, and that was my first time working with a UFC level athlete. I'd worked
Right.
with lower levels and mostly jiu-jitsu athletes before that, so it's a bit different. Like the weight, you don't do a severe weight cuts. It's more of like an actual like dieting process because with jiu-jitsu, it's almost exclusively same day weigh-ins.
Yeah.
But at the time before that, I also had a meal prep company that was running, so I was doing a lot of diets for general population clients. But I kind of just made a very quick jump into the MMA world.
So tell us, so you first just had an interest in food, then you set up your own meal prep company, and then tell us how you moved into the MMA and jiu-jitsu side of things.
Yeah, so the start of 2018, I kind of got an idea from a friend to start this company, and he was supposed to be involved, but he was busy with school, whatever, so I kind of ran with it myself. I wrote a business plan. I did all sorts of research and started kind of running the company very informally. But
Yeah.
I was getting clients, I was doing marketing, I was doing all of that, and just really excellent experience. But I lacked a level of sophistication in terms of my business knowledge, my business infrastructure. So I was kind of at a stalling point, like with what the next step would be in
Right.
terms of like growth or whatever. And this was about June of last year, and funnily enough, that's when I ended up getting in contact with George Lockhart originally.
Yeah.
And, you know, he invited me out to Vegas to take their weight cutting, you know, certification. And I ended up just kind of seamlessly transitioning into this world, you know, yeah. by getting the till gig.
Massive props to you for getting such huge gig so early on. And that's for having the balls to go out and get it and make it happen. What can you tell us about the certification course? Are you allowed to tell us what goes on and what they teach you?
I'm actually off the top of my head. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say. I'm not allowed to say. So I'm going to just, you know, I don't want to give anything away. So, you know, anyone who's interested can reach out to them on Instagram and they'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Well, when George was on the Joe Rogan podcast, the approach to it was so scientific. A lot of it went over my head, to be honest. Is it something that normal people would be able to get their head around if they did the cert?
It really is, you know, the big thing I think that sets apart George and his staff from, you know, other people in the space is the level of experience that they have. George is an incredibly intelligent guy, but what sets him apart, as I just said, is the amount of times they've been in the trenches and they've done this and they've seen everything at this point. So, you know, it can be very overwhelming to the outsider who, you know, isn't used to the sort of craziness that can go on during a fight week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would kind of encourage people who are interested to kind of speak to people like myself and other, you know, professionals in the space before, you know, diving head on into it, because it is a bit crazy.
The other thing that I didn't fully appreciate before, I've actually spoken to Ian Larios before as well. I didn't appreciate how much you guys work as a team at like a big fight week. You could have like, I think he said up to about 9 was the most that he'd worked with in a week, 9 fighters on the card. And you guys kind of move between them all.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's on like a needs basis, you know. Usually, you know, certain fighters need more attention. And then, you know, you kind of just delegate the staff where needed. You know, if a fighter has worked with a particular person before, you know, you want to try to get that same person working with that same fighter. So there's like a level of familiarity there.
Yeah.
So like, you know, some fighters are happy to do their weight cuts completely on their own. You know, they're not usually it's a case of not a huge weight cut, but you know, you have some weight cuts where, you know, it is kind of getting to the 11th hour and it gets to like an all hands on deck sort of situation. But yeah, it's all about, you know, being able to improvise in the moment and just do what's best for, you know, the fighter's safety more than anything else.
Yeah. And what about cheaters? Have you got people who, you know, are sneaking off to the fridge without telling you?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I try to, you know, try to establish and, you know, as open a dialogue with fighters as possible. Like, look, like, you know, if you feel the fight week, you know, we want to be completely in control of the camp. I'm a bit more lenient. Like, you know, I'm going to go over to Till shortly and like this far out, like he doesn't have to like be at, you know, he can have a cheat meal here and there just because of how far we out are. But, you know, a fight week, you know, we absolutely want to have an open dialogue with the fighter.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't feel like they have to like, oh my God, I have to, you know, have some junk or whatever just to get by.
Yeah. And talking of cheat meals, a few people have asked me about, it sounded like Darren had been drinking the weekend just gone.
No, absolutely. I can unequivocally deny that. That's how he is. Like people who haven't, you know, been around him as much as I have or, you know, can get a bit thrown off by him, but that's just who he is. He's just having fun.
So he thinks Ben Askren's a wanker even when he's stone cold sober.
Yeah, I mean, if you check out his interview with Helwani yesterday, he did give Ben props, but you know, Ben is Ben. He has his way of going about things.
He's been winding everyone up. Yeah, well, I was glad to see it going back the other way for sure.
Absolutely. You know, hopefully that's something that, you know, a fight that can get done in the near future, you know, if maybe both guys are successful in their next fight.
Yeah. And in terms of building up a rapport with a fighter, what's that like? Because you were living with Darren, weren't you?
Yes. It can be difficult. Like, I hate to be cliche, but, you know, every case is different. You know, with Darren, like, it was a bit of a strange environment in terms of, like, you know, even I was 4 or 5 hours away from where I'm from. You know, they're good. Like, you know, we were just completely out of our element in a certain way. Yeah. Not many of them had really been to Vegas before. You know, you go from 110 degree heat, you know, to, you know, rainy England. It's a bit of a culture shock, but, you know, we made the most of it. My job really is to just be as invisible as possible, just show up when I need to show up. And it's not about me. It's just about, you know, keeping tabs on the fighter. But, you know, it's one of the reasons I ended up just going out of my way to, you know, to head over to England back in November, just to kind of hang out with him outside of the, you know, the nerves of a fight camp and get to know him more. So, you know, we're in a really good place. We've been chatting back and forward on Instagram and, you know, really looking forward to getting stuck in with him real soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if all the viewers realise, but you've moved to England now. You've moved to Liverpool and you actually train at the same gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I am I do train at Calbon. I do think that Colin Huron is the most underrated coach in the whole world of MMA at the moment. The guy he's been there from the start, and he's produced just, you know, an unrivaled level of high-level talents over the last decade or so. You know, when you look at, you know, people just don't, you know, people that are very new to the sport don't realize, you know, the talents that he's brought through that gym. To this day, like, Terry Etim is probably like the hardest guy I've ever done any sort of a combat sports activity with. The man is just made of steel, and it's a credit to Colin. So I'm, you know, on top of working with Till, I'm looking forward to getting back into my own training over there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different. It's a whole other level of intensity.
And I think there was a couple of other teammates that you wanted to shout out. Fights coming up or...
Absolutely. So Tom Aspinall, who is one of Till's main training partners, is going to be main eventing the Cage Warriors Liverpool show. That is on the 16th of February, which is, you know, super exciting for him. Tom's a great guy in the gym. You know, he's super high level guy, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, a former sparring partner of Tyson Fury. His boxing is ridiculous. I can't touch the guy. It's so annoying. Like, anytime I spar him, just any punch I throw at this guy bounces off his shoulder and I just feel useless. So looking forward to that. We're also hoping that, you know, Mike Grundy gets his big opportunity in the UFC. You know, the man's paid his dues. He's fought in top organizations throughout the world, Brazil, Japan, Russia, you name it. So we'll see what happens. He's, you know, a top, top guy. You know, a great guy to have in the gym, a true professional. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, it all kind of comes in place for him. He was supposed to be on the Liverpool card last year, but it didn't work out. So we're just, you know, hoping something materializes in the near future.
Yeah. That London card seems to be filling up, but I'm hoping there's a few spaces left on it. So you never know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, ideally, you know, London would be great, but like I said, Mike's been all over the world and I'm sure he wouldn't have a problem traveling for a fight as well.
Yeah. And you were looking to make an amateur debut some point in the future?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm the kind of person to where if I do something, I have to be 100% committed to it. And, you know, with my increasing workload, with working with fighters, and you know, I just I have to find the right balance. I haven't quite found it yet, but
Yeah.
you know, I do. I it's still a plan of mine to, you know, take a fight, whether in England or New York. I'm not quite sure yet. You know,
Yeah.
late. I'm going to say probably next year. You know, I want to give myself time to. You know, there's no rush. So,
yeah.
But hopefully, yeah, like next year would be super awesome.
I'm sure Brad Pickett would love to have you on Rise of Champions. I'll let you know the dates for our shows,
please.
Next year. So, have we got any questions come through on Facebook, Chris?
We've got the one. So it's from our leader, Peter Knox. He said, if you could, what rules would you implement to ensure safe weight cutting?
I'm a big fan of the hydration test that ONE FC are doing. I think that that's the general way we should be moving with this. You know, people are going to, oh, but you're the guy who works with Till or whatever. But, you know, Till has made the weight several times. It's not a case of, like, you know, recently a TJ Dillashaw who went down from his, you know, his longtime weight class. I don't really want to encourage people to take that extra push and try to go down a weight class.
What did you think he looked like at that weight? Did as a nutritionist, did you think he could be healthy and just look like that?
To be completely honest with you, I haven't worked with too many guys his size yet.
Right.
So, you know, with a big guy like Till, it's a lot easier to cut a significant amount of weight. Whereas with the small guys, you know, you've less muscle tissue to work with, less fluid to lose. So,
you know,
I don't want to really comment too much on it, but it's just I don't really know.
Yeah. What about the other way? What do you think of guys like Big Country who don't seem to focus on their nutrition at all? How good do you think he could be if he employed the right diet?
You know, I think it's a commitment thing more than anything. You know, if you want to be a top professional in this sport, you know, diet is a huge part of it. You know, Daniel Cormier still brought Ian Larios in for his entire camp. Just recently with Derek Lewis, you know, a heavyweight fight where he had, you know, didn't really have a weight class to make. And, you know,
he has to make 265, doesn't he?
Yeah. he was like 250, I think, which, you know, he's pushing it. He was getting pork belly and stuff the week of the fight. Ian was treating him good. So, but my point is, like, you know, he had Ian out and he had Ian up in San Jose and then in New York, obviously. And, you know, he's the champ, and, you know, Connor has someone right now, and he doesn't have a fight booked. So, you know, if you're a top professional, you're going to follow a diet, whether, you know, there's a strict cut to make or not.
So is that complete fabrication when Derek Lewis says that he's eating ribs and Popeye chicken right before he walks out? Is that him messing around, or I'm never sure what to believe of him?
I mean, yeah, that's what I was about to say back to you. I'm not sure, you know, the guy's a comedic genius. And it's funny seeing him blow up now, because I remember watching interviews of him several years ago on Helwani and thinking, this guy's really funny.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Derek is an intelligent guy beneath the comedic surface. And I think he, you know, behind closed doors is eating pretty reasonable.
I think with Derek, you've also got to take into account the fact that he's got a Popeye's card waiting for him half a mile away from his house, and he still hasn't picked it up, so he can get free Popeye's for life, which, you know, I'll be honest, I would be all over that. I'd be in Popeye's right now if I was him, and I'd be broadcasting live from Popeye's.
I tried some when I was in Vegas. I definitely do not want to offend Derek Lewis or put him off ever coming on the show, but I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
I hope he won't hold that against me.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fried chicken guy myself. I had KFC one time when I was super young, and I just never again.
I think I'm probably more the target demographic than you two, if I'm brutally honest. So.
I wasn't
going to
go there, but...
We'll let you say that.
We haven't got any more questions in yet, but I'd like to know if there's a specific fighter that you would be really interested in working with, Owen.
specific fighter. So right after Till weighed in, I right away started beating the drum for GSP, because it is looking like if he would make a return, it would be at 155 pounds.
Yeah.
I heard Brendan Schaub on the Fight Companion over the weekend mention that, you know, he's been around Wildcard Gym in LA and he's looking very thin. So, but, you know, I did end up looking into that, and he has a, you know, like a sort of a team that works with him in Montreal. So I don't, you know, I don't really want to, you know, if he has a setup, that's cool. He can do whatever he wants, but I'll go out on a limb and I'll pick a realistic option. You know, Gordon Ryan recently announced that, you know, he's planning to make the transition to MMA.
Wow.
And, you know, Gordon's a local guy. I do know if I haven't been to Henzo's myself, but I do know a few different people there. I know one of their Muay Thai coaches, PJ McMahon, who works with Caitlin, blonde fighter. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not even going to try the last. You know,
yeah. She's number three in the.
Yeah.
Oh, she was number three. Yeah, in the flies. Yeah, until she lost to Jessica Rye.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just.
Chukagan.
Sorry, I'm not even going to go with it. But yeah, like I know a few different people at you know, Henzo's. So, and I'd love to just be in some sort of an environment where, you know, I can be around Danaher for and just to pick his brain. You know, the man's a wizard. So, you know, hopefully that can work out in the future.
So you've learned from the scientists of food and the scientists of jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah, he's going to be a world champ with that setup, absolutely.
Definitely.
Kid is still only like 23, so it's like the sky's the limit.
Yeah. How old are you, Owen?
I just turned 22.
That's incredible. Incredible achievement so far. I was going to say, your Instagram is more of a journey than anybody else's I've seen. Like, in terms of, I've read your post from when you decided to drop out of college and follow your dreams, but not just kind of aimlessly follow your dreams, like you made it happen with your meal prep company, then you did the certification, then you went after the fighter that you wanted to get. It's an incredible journey. And then even looking at your food, it's like you obviously always had a passion in it. Like at the beginning, you were always cooking steaks, just like different steaks. Now you've just like, it's just become so mature and they're just like the most beautiful plates of food.
Thank you.
Really obsessed with all this stuff and just a bit of an Instagram stalker.
Yeah, I mean, I do get a lot of people who, you know, kind of have mixed thoughts about, you know, the level of stuff that I share and my thoughts or whatever. But, you know, I do get people who message me sometimes and see, you know, and say that they, you know, they get something out of it. And, you know, I had a girl that I went to high school with who reached out to me at one point and said like, hey, I've been kind of watching what you're doing. And, you know, you kind of gave me the push to finally like give modeling a try. And I just thought that was crazy, you know? So, you know, I don't do it for attention or anything. It's just, I'm a very intense person and I have these very deep thoughts. And, you know, if at least one person gets something out of it, I don't really care.
Well, it was people like you that made me join MMA UK, because I was watching everyone's Instagram and training a bit myself and just wanting to be involved in the scene so much that I just kind of went for it. So thank you.
that's crazy to even hear. Like, you know, that's awesome. That's great to hear. We're happy to have you in the seat. I'm trying to get used to the UK MMA scene a bit more. It's way different in terms of like just the culture than American gyms, you know, and, you know, hopefully when I'm over, I'll get to, you know, visit a few more gyms.
Yeah. Chris, have you got any more questions for Owen?
Well, Power Punch Combat Media have come up with a couple of questions that I think are relatively inappropriate for someone of your professional attitude, Owen. first one's McDonald's or Burger King?
we're big Mackey's fans in Liverpool. That's all I'll say.
Okay, and then the second question, I think it's probably relating to a very in-depth conversation we had last week. How many Jaffa cakes can you eat in a minute?
I do like Jaffa cakes. We're gonna go with the whole box. I don't know how many's in it.
One thing we do need to take into account is, this is one of the things that I was thinking about last week. You're not allowed to have a drink.
Oh, they are pretty dry. I'm gonna go 9.
Do you want to know what the world record is?
What is it?
17.
Okay, so like 6 then.
Owen, thank you so much for your time. We massively appreciate it. And I hope to have you back on again really soon in the future. And hopefully catch up when you're in the UK.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I just want to give a quick shout out to my man, Dean Kirk. He's doing his first big weight cut at Bellator Newcastle. He is working with Patricky Pitbull. Dean's a good mate of mine. He's going to smash it. And, big things coming from that guy in the near future. But again, thanks for having me. And, hopefully I'll see you around. If not, I'll see you in London, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Owen.
Thanks, Owen.
Take care.
Cheers. Tony, really sorry to keep you waiting there.
It's all right.
Welcome to the show. Tony Mustard, everyone.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you yourself?
Really good, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Could you turn your phone very slightly up the other? Yeah, like that. Perfect. Yeah. Great, we can see you now. So you're fighting at Bellator Newcastle. The fight just got announced a few days ago.
Yeah, my coach saying us last Saturday, he says there's been a pullout and would I like to do it? So I automatically said yes. And then I found out on the Monday that I got it. So it's just been foot down the metal, just getting everything done in such a short space of time.
Craziness. That must have been so exciting, though, to find out not only that you're on the card, but like down the road from you as well.
Yeah, it's the biggest show to come to the Northeast, and everyone would love to be on a card like this. And when I got the card, I didn't hesitate. So yeah, I'm over the moon.
Do you know who else was in the running for the fight?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Just my coach saying is on the Saturday says there's a potential fight there on Bellator. Wasn't anything in stone. He says you could potentially get it if you put your name forward. And then I found out on the Monday that I had it.
Amazing. So what's training going to be like in the run-up to this?
Well, it's work, straight home, get changed, straight down to the gym, dummy rounds tonight. And it's just constantly gym, back, home, work, gym, straight away. It's madness.
So what do you do for a day job?
I work at a forklift driver at one of the car manufacturing plants, just locally.
Okay, so is that long hours as well?
Yeah, well, it was working like 7 to 3 a day, and then it was like straight home changed, and I'm back to like 8 o'clock training, so it's pretty mad.
So where's your training now? You still at the fish tank?
Yeah, I'm still at TFT.
Fantastic. So, who's helping you prepare? Have you got
guys?
Is Callum still floating about?
Callum, Cook,
yeah.
Callum, no. He's been helping him, but he's a bit injured at the minute, so he's he couldn't actually do anything tonight with me. So, hopefully, things can feel better.
That's a shame. It'd be good to have that big man, that big man feel. I suppose when you're up against Mindo August Gerv, aren't you? So.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mindaugas, like you actually, from memory, I've seen both of you fight on on Bama. So, what do you know about Mindaugas? What's your thoughts going into the fight?
I've never seen much of him, to be honest. I've seen one fight, and the one fight I've seen him with, he likes to push up against the cage and go for the takedown there. If I can keep a beer with me reach and stuff, I should be fine. But honestly, I've never had time to have a look, to be honest.
Fair enough. So, obviously, looking back through your record as well, you're certainly the more experienced fighter, 9-4 against a guy's 3-2-0. You've fought out, made for the cages, obviously being your home. It makes sense, obviously, being a Macam like Dale. It makes sense for you to have fought on his show, but you've also had a bit of time in South Africa as well on EFC. So how did that come about?
Yeah, well, it was the same again. I mean, my coach was friends with Carl Prince, and he says that says there was a fight there in South Africa, and I would get it. But I think I took it at the wrong time, to be honest. I found out 5 weeks before, but I was going. I had my holiday planned with my wife and kids. So it was like 2 weeks away, then back 2 weeks intense training, and then back out there for a week.
And a 5-hour flight to South Africa.
Yeah, and the altitude was ridiculous. I've never felt anything like it, to be honest.
Oh, was it Cape Town you fought?
I fought at Johannesburg twice.
Oh, did you? Oh.
Yeah. It's crazy, the altitude.
So do you feel that was too early in your career, or just the timing?
I had things going on inside and outside of the cage. I think there was just wrong timing, to be honest. I think now if I went back out there, I think it'll be a totally different story. I think I got my head down, took a bit of time off, got my head straight, and I just started enjoying training again. So it's, when you start enjoying training, you learn a lot more, because like 2017, I can honestly say I didn't learn anything. I didn't want to be there. So just everything's going in the right direction now.
So you're coming into this off a 2-fight win streak as well. So beating Tom Denham's a good scalp to have, obviously, on May for the Case 27 in June, followed by a heel hook win against Darren Moffitt. So are we seeing an evolution in your game now?
Yeah. I've been training a lot with Phil De Vries, and we've been drilling a lot of stuff, especially heel hooks in training. It's just trying to, like, getting the time to add stuff to my game plan, but it's like every training's coming along nice now.
So I want to ask you a question about your nickname. Where did you get? Who gave you the nickname Oosh? Come on, because that's one of the best nicknames in UK MMA. It's brilliant.
Well, it came along off Celebrity Juice. We had a competition. We were just like seeing Bang Tidy won't like change the name to Bang Tidy and then change it to something else, and then just Oosh stuck, and I took it off and it just stuck, and I kind of get
that's brilliant.
That's even better now we know where it comes from. We've got a few questions come through on Facebook. What's been your toughest fight, Tony?
Toughest? Probably the Dave Wilson one, to be honest. I was I had 3 defeats off the belt, and then I was fighting Dave Wilson for the British heavyweight title I made for the cage. And I was like, I can't handle another defeat. And I was looking at the door, and I was like, I'm just going to take a runner here. So mentally, it probably was the toughest fight I've done.
Yeah. And when you were talking about being in the wrong mindset in 2017, was there anything in particular that brought that on, and how did you snap out of it?
It was just, I had things going on at work, and I had loads of injuries, especially with my shoulder, and it was just playing on my mind constantly. And then after 3 defeats, and then I won against Dave Wilson, and then I got defeated off Darren Taylor on Bama. My coach just says, look, just take a bit of time out.
Yeah.
So I spent a bit of time with my family, and I just had a few months off and come back and just start loving training again.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that was the turning point, yeah.
We've got a couple more questions to get through. I don't know, have you seen the news about Conor and Khabib today and their punishments?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never seen if anything's in stone yet, no.
So Khabib got 9 months suspension and $500,000 fine. And Conor got 6 months and a $50,000 fine. And the two guys that jumped into the octagon after the fight and hit Conor got a year each and a $25,000 fine each. And the question was just what you thought of their punishments and if they were deserved.
I think they will be deserved because I think there's a lot of people watching and there's a lot of kids watching who's looking up to these kind of people. So I think seeing that, I think it was deserved, to be honest.
Yeah, and they also said, I think the Athletic Commission said that if Conor continues to be as crazy as he is in the lead up to the fights with the stuff he says, that he could be punished even just for the verbal things that he says before a fight.
Yeah, I mean, Conor's Conor. He hypes the fight up, but he's made his name now. I don't think he needs to hype it up anymore. To be honest, people see him on the card. And I think he his name on the card is just enough now. So I don't think he needs to hype it up as much as he does, to be fair.
Yeah. For me, I just think there's only so far you can push someone and he could be managed to keep a lid on it in the whole way through the run-up, the whole way through the fight. And then I just think his limit was reached.
I think he brought his family into it and everything, and I think there's a line here. I think he crossed it, to be fair. I think he's just let everything loose at the end. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, in your opinion, what is the biggest UK MMA promotion?
Big, well, it was Bama, but I don't know what's happening with them at the minute. But there's some good ones coming through. I mean, if Made for the Cage dotted about a bit, I think Made for the Cage could be one of them. I'm fighting on a new one in March for the World Heavyweight title on World Combat Fighting Championships. I think that would be good. I think they've got a bit of money behind them. But there's a lot of shows kicking about that I think could have the potential if they just dotted it around instead of staying locally.
Oh, and I'm getting told off. There's more questions coming through. Chris, what's your opinion of the biggest UK fight promotions?
Are you asking me? That's put me right on the spot, bearing in mind that I manage fighters.
you must be trying to get them on these promotions.
Yeah, look, at the moment, in terms of size, Bellator Europe is the biggest promotion, which is currently showing in the UK. You can't really count the UFC because the UFC pops in and out. Same with KSW, they pop in and out as well. So Bellator Europe, their two fledgling shows are in the British Isles, if you count their Dublin show as well. That's got to be the number one. I would say that the next tier down would be the national level, and I would have put Bama and Cage Warriors alongside each other. The massive strengths in both of them. Cage Warriors are incredibly good at promoting themselves, at promoting their fighters, at the professional image that they portray to the general public. I think it's superb. It's a shame that they've lost. Well, they've moved from the BT deal because I think that's lost them a lot of casual viewers. But in terms of matchmaking, you know, you had Ian Dean in Cage Warriors, you had Jude Samuel in Bama. Those two guys, outside of the guys in the UFC, are literally at the very top. I don't think that you're going to find anyone else in world MMA who have that innate level of understanding to be able to create a fight, because you need to be able to not just create an exciting spectacle for the fighter, for the fans. You also need to ensure that the levels are commensurate of each other. You need to make sure that it's something which is going to earn the promotion money, because you still need ticket sales, you still need people through the door. And those two guys have that ability to do that not many other people can. But then floating around, but you know, the next level down, there are some really good regional shows. Made for the Cage, Dale does a fantastic job there. You know, certainly one of the biggest regional shows in the UK, if not the biggest. You've got, you know, we had Ray Thompson on from Almighty last week. You know, I'm not going to say it now because you said it, but Brad's putting together a really good show to Rise of Champions. You know, you can never discount Dave O'Donnell is the godfather of MMA across Europe, not just in the UK. So, you know, okay, he's wound down UC MMA a little bit in comparison to the older days, but you know, the guy can hype a fight. He can hype a card. He always puts on good shows. So, you know, Shock and Awe. There's lots and lots of good shows about. So I'll stop gassing on now, because this is supposed to be Tony's time, not me talking crap about UK MMA and bricking it.
we'll go back to you, Tony. This is from I think this was Callum Cook that you were talking about earlier.
He
sounds like he's giving you a bit of shit here. He wants to know what your diet is.
Pizzas and burgers at the minute.
Is it really?
Oh, well, I'm trying to cut the ball out. I'm trying to eat the salad. The fridge keeps calling me back.
What's Callum's diet like, though, Tony? If he's going to be so, if he's going to drop you, you tell us about him.
For a man, he can poach. He can eat everything in sight. I'm telling you, I seen he got 200 things in South Africa, and he can. But all he used to eat was chicken and chips. That's all you see. Everywhere went chicken and chips. But he can poach.
So when you're trying to eat clean, what do you eat in a day then?
fish. Salads. I get sponsored by Premier Nutrition, so they normally do all my meals for me anyway.
Right. So that's what you've got to stick to.
Yeah, stick to them.
Tony, this is our other co-host. This is James Hamilton joining us. Hi, James.
Hi, how's doing, guys?
All right.
Good, thank you. Have you got any questions for Tony?
No, sorry.
We do have some more, actually. We've got a couple more that have come in.
I'm a bit slow. Go on, you go, Chris.
So, Tony, do you ever talk shit to get into your... Do you ever shit talk opponents to get into their heads?
No, I don't think so. I think people see a heavyweight bout on the fight card anyway, and they can just say that there's going to be bombs thrown, so I don't think any heavyweight needs to really hype up a fight, to be honest. I know there's someone like in South Africa that do it just to get a title shot, but it's not me, to be fair.
Okay, can I just ask quickly, just on top of that question, Tony, has anyone ever shit talked you and it's had any effect on you getting into a fight?
No, not really. I like to try and keep a clear mind and stuff, and I just brush it off, really. But no, I don't think I've had anybody really bad talk me anything or anything like that, to be honest.
You've got another one as well from Peter Knox. He's asking, if you could change one rule in MMA, what would you change?
Oh, Peter. Every week.
Nah, but I'd probably like to see the headbutts come back. Definitely.
And the head stomps and the soccer kicks to the head, right? Pride rolls.
I'll tell you one thing, a headbutt is certainly effective anyway.
The graduation.
I've seen it used many a times and it seems to work.
It seems to, in the kebab shop.
Yeah, kebab shop, disco, the nightclub, up in Scotland, outside your local Primark.
Oh dear. Brilliant. Any more, Chris?
I can't see any more coming in at the moment. But actually, if we could just roll back with you though, Tony, because we haven't really talked about the start of your career. So what actually brought you into fighting in the first place?
It was just, I used to play a lot of football and my team wrapped in through lack of funding. And I've always watched MMA. And I just thought, at 30-year-old, I thought, I want to try it before I get too old. I found out about the TFT gym at Raya, that's when it was first started off. And then I just started loving it more and more. And then I asked my coach, see if I could get a semi-pro fight at the time. And he was like, I'll do it when you're ready. And then I got one and I never looked back. My first one was on ICO. I was 33 for my first semi-pro fight.
And how old are you now?
37.
I'm still a youngster, mate. Don't worry. Certainly it's a heavyweight.
I think I started a bit later. I think I would have been past it by now if I started in my early 20s, but I still feel fresh.
Randy Couture started at 33. So, yeah. You know, still got plenty of years left in you yet.
Yeah, definitely got a lot of work.
So did you go straight into MMA or did you bounce around with any other martial arts beforehand?
I started off with MMA and then I had a pullout on a show and I'd done kickboxing against Scott Kingsbury. And I didn't like it, to be fair. I didn't know any of the rules. I kept on getting told off by the ref.
You're trying to headbutt?
I had all of your leg and I was like, well, what am I doing with this now? And I just threw him over and he was like, no, you can't do that. But, It wasn't my cup of tea.
So fighting in Newcastle then, as a Macam.
Yeah.
Is it home or are you constantly walking around holding your nose?
It's a tough question. No, I think it would be classed as home, to be honest. I think it's the biggest venue in the Northeast, I think, other than if you get it like a stadium. So I think, yeah, I think we're classed as home, to be fair.
Can I just ask as well quickly, while we're talking about the fight in Newcastle, how did you feel when you got the opportunity to go on to Bellator? I don't know if this has been asked, because opportunities like that don't come around every day, and I know you've come in a bit late, but what was it like when you got the opportunity to fight in Bellator and you got that news?
Oh, well, I said before, my coach told me on the Saturday, and he asked me, do you want it? And there was no hesitation. I was like, yes, if I can get it. He went, there's nothing in stone. And then when I got the text on the Monday, I rang my wife straight away and I'm like, yes, I've got it. So I was definitely over the moon.
And with regards to going to Bellator, I know a lot of guys have got one fight deals with them, and I guess it's a chance to prove yourself to the promotion. Is that similar to yourself? It's a one fight deal and you get an opportunity to go beyond that?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to waste the opportunity. I'm going to show what I can do. If they offer me a contract, then great. But I'm not holding out for anything. I'm not hoping for anything. I like fighting. I like having like 3-4 fights a year. So if they offer me a contract, it would have to be at least a good one to see like I can have like 2 or 3 fights a year. Because I'm not getting any younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Callum set you up with another question, Tony. I have told him that you're going to kill him in training for this. How old were you when you accepted being bold?
I was there. I had a full head of hair before I started TFT. gradually round me down. I think I was 34 and I was like, right, that's it, get it off.
And any consolation, mate? I'm 4 years older than you, and at 30 it just went like that.
It was that moment it had gone.
Is it one of the toughest decisions you've ever had to make, Tony? Deciding that's it, it has to go.
Not really. It was it was getting a bit ridiculous. The ball push at the back. I was like, it's gone up and down, looks stupid anyway.
It's when people can't accept it. That's the worst. You're just like this, and they grow it a bit longer and try and just like
it's like
somebody tell him that he's gone bald.
Are you back home then?
Get rid of it, it looks fine. Bald heads are great.
Yeah. Sexy.
this is what I'm hearing. I might have to shave mine off.
Do it. Honestly, you'll never look back.
But I guess the upside I've got is I can grow it back.
Oh, look at that.
Itchy.
You notice I'm saying this when I'm not in person?
Yeah, I was just thinking with you two coughing, I'm glad we're not in studio, but now I wish we were so you could take a dig.
I apologise, I've got a chest infection that just won't quit, so.
Oh dear. So, Tony, coming out of TFT, you guys have got it's like a hotbed of talent up there. Now, we've spoken about Callum, who's battled a lot of injuries. But he's come back and he won a title last year, I think, on Golden Ticket. Talked about Cal Eleanor, who recently fought for title in EFC. Obviously, you, Andrew Fisher, where's he fought? Bama, Bellator, ACB. Who's next from TFT? Who should we be looking out for?
Lewis Monarch. Lewis Monarch's a good one. I think he's on Cage Warriors soon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got Phil DeFries. Phil DeFries trains us a lot. There's a lot of talent, a lot of different categories, weight categories. There's a lot of good talent coming through, and they're all young lads as well. So I'm glad I'm just not as young as them. I couldn't be put through that all the time through them. yeah, there's some good talent coming through with TFT.
Awesome.
Have we got any other questions coming in?
I think we're all up to speed.
Yeah, thank Callum's. You. Callum's not been brave and asked anymore. So make sure you hurt him, tell him, give him a dig from me as well for the bowl comment.
Yeah, I will.
And save one for James, if you ever meet him.
Well, I'll be down at Newcastle. I'm working. So,
oh, there you go. Perfect.
If you see somebody hiding in a corner, Tony, don't worry. It's just me.
Oh, you have got one last one before we go, actually, from our friend Chris Gadden. He said, Tony, the friendliest crowd I've been a part of was at Made for the Cage. Can you feel that atmosphere in the cage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially when they're shouting and chanting your name. Yeah, you can definitely feel the atmosphere. It builds and it's electrifying when it's actually starting. And it was the same at, I would like to say it was the same as Bama, but I was on too late at Bama. I was on at like 12 o'clock. I think everybody had gone. I think there were about 3 people left in the arena. But yeah, it's always a good crowd at Made for the Cage. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck at Bellator. And yeah, James will be there to do your winner's interview after your fight.
Yeah.
Best of luck down in Newcastle, Tony. I look forward to the fight, mate.
Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
And we'll all be shouting oosh at the telly when you walk out.
Yeah, we will. Oosh. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tony.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Do you know what? Heel hooks are cool anyway, but they're so much cooler when they're called heel hooks.
Heel hooks.
I love that.
Unless you're the person getting the heel hook.
Yeah.
Then not so much.
Not so cool then.
Sorry, I'm going to be coughing. I'm having to mute my camera when I'm not talking, just purely because I don't want it constantly jumping back when I'm coughing.
You're both coughing like mad.
Yeah, I can't shake this. I've had it for a couple of weeks. I think it's time to admit defeat and go and see a doctor. How's it going, guys, anyway?
Really good, yeah. We had Owen on first, and he was great. Yeah, he's doing Darren Till's nutrition again for UFC London.
Perfect.
Yeah, so there's been a few new announcements to that card this week. What do you think of some of them that have come out?
Yeah, honestly, I can't remember them, to be fair.
But I'm wearing my Arnold Allen t-shirt tonight.
It's good to see him getting on that card. I mean, they're definitely, for what I can remember, sorry, my head's all over the place at the moment. The card's looking as good a card as I've put on in a long time.
Yeah, by far the best.
I think the British fans from the UFC have been slightly shafted in the past.
Yeah.
So I think they're making up for it in this one. Some really good fights on it. It's going to be fun, and I think there's obviously more to get announced. So I'm looking forward to future announcements.
I saw as well that Nathaniel was doing homework on someone last night, watching some fight footage. So I'm pretty sure he must be close to getting his fight announced now.
Nathaniel's been looking really good, and I think it's good for him to get to fight, especially UFC London. That's getting on it. It's going to be a big moment for him. And I tell you what, he's grabbed the bull with the horns since joining the UFC. So it's really good to see guys like that from the UK step up and not only winning fights, but winning in an exciting fashion.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I've already said I'm gutted that the dentist, Darren Stewart's not going to be on the card. They've told him that he's not going to be. But Nad Narimani today, I saw, said fight news coming soon. So I don't know if that's about London or that's about another show, but it'd be good to see him back as well.
Well, it's nice to see Nad updating some fight news, because it's normally shaft news from him. So it's a bit of a change of pace.
So next on, we'll have
Chris on shortly.
Chris, oh yeah, Chris is next. I've got my notes in a mess.
That's all right. Well, I'll just send a link to Chris, and then we'll hopefully get him in and get a chat.
Perfect.
Well, whilst you're doing that, how about Bellator at the weekend? What are your thoughts on Fedor versus Bader?
Were you surprised by that result?
Not in the slightest. Bader's 5-0 in Bellator now. He runs through absolutely everybody, and he's coming to his own, certainly, since he's joined the promotion. And there doesn't seem to be anyone at heavyweight or light heavyweight at the moment who can get near him.
So what is next for him then?
Well, I was looking through the heavyweight and light heavyweight rankings, and I suppose you've got Jordan Young, who's 5-0 in Bellator, 10-0 at light heavyweight. Outside of that, now the upper echelon in the light heavyweight division certainly has been relatively stable for quite a long time. You've got Phil Davis, you've got Linton Vassell, you've got Liam McGeary, King Mo, who else floating around as well? You did have Emmanuel Newton at one point, didn't you, who was the champion. But they've always been the same 4 or 5 fighters sort of bouncing around. Because realistically, light heavyweight is Bader's home. I love Linton. Linton's great because Linton, he trains up at BST, and I've still got a picture of Linton holding my little girl when he was up last year, actually, which is awesome. So, but I just can't see anyone getting near Bader in that weight class. And looking at heavyweight, it's even lighter. There just isn't anyone who's at that level. So, I'm wondering whether it'd be worth. Other people have gone out of the UFC and come back. The most notable being Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler went out to Strikeforce for a bit, came back and became the champion. I wonder whether that could be on Bader's cards. I don't know how many fights he's got left on his contract for starters, but certainly being champ.
Do you think the UFC would ever consider cross promotion again? Like they used to do with Rampage and Chuck Liddell.
Because it waters down their product. They're the number one in the world. They've got the number one position. If they go and put somebody in who gets beaten by someone from another promotion, it damages their credibility. You can understand ONE and Bellator doing it or Ryzen and Bellator doing it.
Are the guys big enough there though? I don't think those particular divisions developed.
No, certainly not in ONE. But Ryzen and Bellator had the New Year's Eve event, was it?
Yeah.
Gary and what's his face went over to Ryzen and
Ross.
The promotions are fighting out for the second spot. It makes sense for them to do that, but at the moment, whilst the UFC is still holding on to the top position, it's just there's no upside for them in doing that.
It's just such a shame. Hey,
what's happening?
Can I see a bad guy?
You can absolutely see a bad guy. What's happening, Chris?
How are we, man? We're good.
Very good.
Can we
get
you in landscape, Chris?
Oh, do we need to? Do we need to do this shit? How about
thank you. Are you in bed?
Yes.
I didn't know it was one of them calls.
Hello.
I'm feeling a bit violated now.
Are you going to pay £5 an hour for this shit?
You're going to get Katie phoning, after this show.
I'm actually just at my papa's. I've just come in to do this in the room. So I just had dinner with my papa, so I'm in my papa's.
So I think we'll give a quick introduction for those who don't know.
So I want to do my papa's... Here, John Bunga with a magic happens to my papa, you know what I mean?
That is so weird.
There you go, man. That's me, wee John Boy does his magic.
Holy
do you not feel weird now lying on that?
No, nah, man. My papa's a hero, you know what I mean?
For anybody that doesn't know, joining us is We're right on. Chris is obviously fighting a week on Saturday, Bellator Newcastle against Terry Brazier. So it's getting to that time now, Chris. It's getting close. So tell us how you're feeling now leading up. You're just over a week away from the fight.
I'm fucked. I'm honestly fucked. I'm shattered. I just want rest, you know what I mean? I think we're coming to the end now, so... We're like 11 days out, so I actually can't wait to get in there and get it early, and then go back to happy life.
So, see, obviously, this fight's the biggest fight of your career. So, I think it's a big one. Have you changed much in this camp, or knowing that you're going in, obviously signing with Bellator? Have you put more into this camp than you would normally, or has it just been keeping things the same as you've done in the past?
You always want to improve everywhere, so I've definitely upped everything. So I've just been training harder, more intensity. I brought in a lot more cardio, more strength. I brought in some swimming, just stuff like that. And obviously, mm-hmm. I'm really, really nailed down the diet this time. Usually, I'd have a wee bit of this and that in between, but I've been pretty strict this one. So this is for all the marbles. This is for everything, that means. So yeah, you don't want to leave any chance. You want to put everything you've got in there, and then there's no excuses at the end of the day, that mean.
Is it almost as well, see, with a camp like this, where you've got to try and make sure you don't overtrain yourself?
I think that's what I felt like yesterday. I felt really tired yesterday, and that's the first time I felt like that this fall camp. And it's been like 9 weeks. So yesterday I felt tired and sparring and lazy, and I'm usually get raring to go for sparring. So I went a wee jog last night, tried to clear the head a wee bit, and I was raring to go the day again. So sometimes you might be training too hard when you've got a big fighting coming up. So it's, rest is very important as well, obviously. But we're nearly there. It's the business end. And I can't wait, man.
And obviously as well, you've been over at SBG Ireland getting some light rounds in with Peter Queeley.
The guy's a beast, man. But I think that's what you need to do. You need to put yourself in uncomfortable positions and against some of the best fighters in the world to be one of the best fighters in the world to improve your overall game. And you know what I mean? I'm just here for this big, crazy journey. As I say all the time, like, I'm fighting for a cause. I'm not fighting to be like my main goal isn't to be a world champion. It never was. So I'm just enjoying every minute, improving every day as a martial artist, and just doing it with a smile on my face.
And you've had a wee bit of a difference in this cramp as well, because you've had a documentary crew out filming you as well. What's that been like, having the guys about just filming you?
Quite annoying, actually. I'm trying to focus on this biggest fight in my life and prepare mentally and physically, and it's obviously for a good reason, you know what I mean? Like, any publicity is good publicity, and it's a good insight in my life and where I've came from and grew up with and my teammates and stuff like that. So it'll be good. It'll be a good watch. Some of the footage I've got right now is quite impressive. We've done like underwater swimming and drones, running with drones and stuff like that. So it's quite, some of the footage looks pretty cool, so I'm looking forward to seeing it all put together, and like, we visited where I grew up in Hollytown and that, the flats and stuff like that, so reminisced a wee bit and going back down there and filming that stuff and that. So let's hope it's not like Rocky One and I win at the end of the fight. Else he's only two in for a second, man.
The other thing as well, this is obviously no particularly MMA related, but your MMA careers gave you this opportunity. So you got to do something fun at the weekend. Obviously, I was happy for you. I wasn't happy with the result after it, right enough. So you got to walk out of Celtic Park and see the pictures. Tell me a wee bit about that, what that meant to you, and how much you enjoyed that experience.
That was easily one of the best days of my life. And I've had a good few days, put it that way. But obviously, I've supported Celtic since I've been a baby. I go to all the home and away games. I've watched them all across Europe, travelled everywhere. So to be invited to do the halftime Paradise Windfall and get brought out. I got brought out of the stadium at halftime like I'm mad player, like, big introduction, all my titles, and the lights were on and all that, and it was madness. I was more nervous for that than I was for this fight. No offence, Terry, but 60,000 Celtic fans clapping or whatever they were doing when I was walking out, that was nuts. Before I got to like have drinks with had a cup of tea, don't think it was a vodka in that, with some of the Lisbon Lions, who are like Celtic legends, who won the European Cup like 67, and I'm out the players and had a wee interview on the pitch and stuff like that. So it's definitely something that I'll take to my grave, you know what I mean?
And your papa must have been proudest punch for that as well. What was he like when you told him about that?
I showed him the pictures and the videos and that, and he's getting somebody to actually burn the video onto like a DVD.
No, the USB sticks or that then, no?
No. Well, I think he's got one. He's all gadgeted up, man. He loves all his stuff like that. But I asked him to go, but his legs aren't working as good as they used to be now. So he watched it on Celtic TV and all that, so... he was buzzing, man. He's still buzzing now, like me, so that was good.
Brilliant. And obviously that as well, it's a wee break away from camp and stuff like that, and the hardships you're putting yourself through in camp.
Aye, well, before the game, they're offering you dry alcohol, and then at half-time, they're offering you all this good food. Like the good food, you want steak pie and all this, and I was like, no, I can't touch all that stuff, but it was good.
Did you maybe drop a hint then that you'll come back and be another one when you're known camp and get maybe a couple of vodkas and oranges?
Aye, definitely. I maybe hit up trying to do one of the charity dues, like we are the legends and all that. So I think that's my next one.
Perfect. So obviously moving on to the fight, you're fighting a Bama double weight champion, Terry Brazier. So you said you wanted tough matchups and that's what you've got in Terry. So just give me your thoughts on the fight and Terry's an opponent.
I think it's a tough fight, obviously. I mean, I'm the realest guy in the room every time I walk into the room. This is a tough fight. Terry's good wrestler, tough guy, good forward pressure. Yeah, he's just tough, but he's tough like me. He's very similar to me. I think I've just got a wee bit better striking than him. So I think it's got to be a great fight. I think it's got to be a good war. I think there's got to be blood. And I could see it going to three rounds. If I'm perfectly honest, I see it going to three rounds. I'd love to finish, obviously, who wouldn't he? But he's a tough dude, you know what I mean? And that's the way I like it.
Expecting a tough fight. Do you think then that you're obviously you're expecting a tough fight? Do you think Terry's expecting a tough fight? Do you think he's overlooking you?
Oh, he's definitely overlooking me. And that's the first mistake. I've not been an easy fight for anybody ever in my life. So... Mm-hmm. If he's looking by me, that's all right. Like, you can look at other guys like Benson Henderson and Norman Park. That's good. I like you respect that. Like, he's looking ahead and looking at other tough fights. But trust me, he's in for 50 minutes of fucking hell when I get in there. When my first elbow hits that big baldy cranium, he has. You know who he looks like? You know who he remembers me? Did you ever used to watch the Turtles? You remember the thing called the Krang? It was like the wee brain. That sat in the fucking thing. That's what Terry looks like, the brain. Like, he's called the Krang. So when my elbow hits the Krang, he's got to know he's in a fight. So I can't wait, man. Like, if he thinks it's a walk in the park, the pressure's on him then, isn't it? The pressure's on him to walk over me, steamroll me, and put me a bit quick. But you'll need to tune in to see what happens.
You see, the one thing I would say, you've definitely been having a wee bit of fun in the lead up to this one on social media.
I always have fun. People, like, just because this is me just on a big stage now, like, people will see me at press conference, like, oh, this guy's trying to be like McGregor, he's trying to be funny. But if you look at all my interviews for the last 9 years, I've been a cunt. I've always been a cunt. and now all these cameras are on me, they're going to know that I'm a cunt. And I'm like, I've just been waiting for these cameras to be on me. So, like, welcome to the show.
We've got the quote for the highlight reel there.
Yeah.
that's definitely going to be shortened into a video. The other thing as well is, I'll tell you one thing I'm excited about. Obviously the fight, but there's a press conference next week.
Thursday.
So you'll be down there. Are you looking forward to that press conference? And I'm assuming you're going to have some fun with that.
Oh, aye, man. Like people don't understand. This is the full. I'm the full package. Like, you need to talk, you need to walk, you need to fight, you need to dress good. You need everything. Like, I come from a pro wrestling background, where you need to cut good promos. You need to sell yourself. We need good social media. You need to get your own sponsors. So you need to do all this yourself. If you're not willing to deal with that, then nobody's got to know who you are. You've got to end up jumping about like Corey Browning with any social media, thinking people from America think who's this guy? This guy's not got social media. Is he even a fighter? So, like, you need to be out there. And as everybody knows who watches MMA or boxing, these guys are the guys that people want to watch. These guys make the most money. These guys are merely entertaining. So, I am looking forward to just saying what I feel. I'm not going to be making up any bullshit here. I'm just going to say what's on my mind and hit them with some truths.
Do you think as well, obviously I know that you quite like this side of that, side of it as well, especially coming for the pro wrestling. I know you love pro wrestling as well. It obviously helps when you enjoy having a wee bit of back and forth with your opponents, and that's definitely something you seem to do.
Aye, of course, man, but you need a good dance partner, just like pro wrestling. If you're if that guy's shite and you can't wrestle, it's just got to make it a terrible match. So if the guy's not got good power or no good comebacks or no good slaggings, then it's just got to be a one-way street. So it's good when there's two to tango and he's going a bit of back and forth, because like, if somebody hits me with a good one, I'll applaud it first, and then I'll just roast them 10 times harder. So I can't wait to see what fucking Terry's got, because he's got to hit me with like, oh, bum guard. Like, heard that in Primary 2, mate. You know what I mean? Good one. But let's, like, all the lightweights, everybody in that table is getting roasted. It'll sort of be like Comedy Central up there. And I'm the man with the mic.
The roast master general.
Yeah, man.
So, now that you're obviously just about to enter into fight week, so is it just now for you, it's about managing your weight and just making sure everything's on point with the weight cut, which it always is with you, obviously. so is that what next week's about?
The last couple of weeks I've been seeing a couple of abs, man. I've jumped about like 2-pack, but like fucking, like, I look today and the abs are disappearing. Maybe I'm eating too much again. Maybe I need to check the weight, man, because I'm starting to worry.
do you just remember one thing, mate, for your friend Chris Duncan? Don't eat sushi or anything like that.
Sorry, I got a phone call there.
Oh, that's all right. So what I was saying is, I just remember one thing next week, as Chris Duncan told us, don't eat sushi or anything next week.
Oh, no.
Just to make sure there's no accidents inside the cage.
Oh, tell me about it. That's my worst nightmare.
Wait, just a wee second. Somebody will be trying to phone him. We'll just give him a wee second to come back on.
We've got a few Facebook questions when he comes back.
Sorry about that. It was just people rudely interrupting me. I had to answer and just tell them, like, fuck off.
Who is it that phoned you? Can you share that information?
No, it was a girl.
All right. Was that a girlfriend?
Yes.
Right. sorry, Katie, you were saying we've got some questions for Chris.
Yeah, a few questions come through. Martial Arts and Fitness Club want to know, what's the best piece of advice you could give to young fighters?
Oh, the best advice I would say is shop around martial arts gyms. If you're interested in going to start martial arts, shop around. And that's not just about like distance. Where are you? How close is it to you? How much is it? Can you afford it? And see what the coaches are like. Don't join any gym that's just what to take your money because it's close by, because it's round the corner. Because you're going to end up learning shite techniques of a shite coach who doesn't even know what he's talking about, then give you false hope in your skill set. Then you've got put into maybe a competition or a fight, then you could get really hurt or injured. So I would say shop about, see what you can afford financially, and then see what coaches, like, just maybe trials. Don't, like, settle for the first one you see. And then you'll see if you've got a good coach, good teams, guys that know what they're talking about, then take it for there. Because I see people jumping into the first gym they see.
Yeah.
And they learn all the wrong techniques, and they get a false sense their skill set's good when they're really getting taught wrong, and they can get badly hurt in a competition they're getting put in too early or shouldn't be put in at all. You know what I mean?
That is good advice. And then Louisa Molano wants to know what you'd choose between a Bellator title fight or a fight versus Aaron Chalmers.
I'd obviously choose the fucking world title fight, because it's a tough one, right? Because obviously I would like to beat him up and give him a wee bit of reality check to how a real fight goes down, but I'm also a professional, so I would fight for the Bellator world title before I would fight that wee pussy bitch.
You can fight him after.
I would give him my first title shot. My first title defence would be against him in Newcastle.
And then MMA Scotland wants to know, what fighters should we be keeping an eye on from the Scottish Hit Squad?
Ooh, that's a good question, because there's hundreds of them. See, my podcast all day, I went and caught my teammate, Ryan McFarlane, when his name's clearly Ryan Campbell, and I don't even know Ryan McFarlane, so apologies, Ryan. But Ryan Campbell is one to look out for, definitely. He's one of my main sparring partners now, a young amateur coming up. He's fighting it on top, so you'll get a good look at him then. We've also got Gary McMillan, 15-year-old Kyle Hanna, who's an absolute beast. Michael Blair, he's away in Spain now, but he's coming back. You've also got all the Camille, some of the pros coming through as well.
Jordan Strong's got a fight coming soon, hasn't he?
Yeah, Jordan Strong is also one of my main training partners. He's fighting in Cage Warriors Academy in Wales. He's another beast as well. There's hundreds of them. There's actually a mat full of them. And they'll kick my ass, so... If I kick my ass, I'm doing something right.
Well, you've made the questions jump to life because we've got some more. Tom Heffernan wants to know, rate the new UFC belt on a scale of pishness.
Oh, Jesus, what is that? That looks like something at the WWE. That looks like something that
it does, yeah.
They would put like the wee spinny WWE sign on it. It looks terrible. I was always a Bellator man anyway, so...
Convenient. And your thoughts on the McGregor-Khabib punishments today? Have you seen them?
Yeah, like he got 50 G's and Khabib got half a mil.
Yeah.
Well, realistically...
To be fair, Conor didn't do anything.
Realistically, who started the actual riot? Well, there's only one man that started it, and I think it
and
could have been...
Get out the cage.
I think it could have been a lot worse, see, because of, like, the crowd with Irish and Russia... Like, that could have been an absolute war zone. Yeah, Conor didn't do much. He done, like, people are like, but he done this in the build-up. He done well. He done that. He got went to court for that shit. So, these guys that jumped in the cage, I think, should have got worse. Like, guys lobbing the cage and hitting somebody, you know what I mean? I think they should get worse than what they got, but...
They got a year each, right? And 25 grand each.
Half a mil, though. Woof, that's a stinger, man. To be fair, I don't think Khabib's a money man. Like, see, when you look at him, I don't think he's a money man. He likes owning his Russia and stuff, like his family, his friends and that. So he's still got a good payout for that, so I don't think he'll be moaning too much.
And I believe he's to take part in an anti-bullying campaign to cut down his suspension.
I've seen that. That's pure weird. Like, that was, where did that come from?
They've tried that with... Did they not try that with Conor before? Obviously, this was Nevada, after the throwing the candy monster. And Conor just said, nope.
Aye,
no thanks.
Community service, not me.
Aye. We got any more, Katie?
That's it for now. Have you got any, Chris?
No, I'm just flicking through and I can't see any more either. I
wanted to actually ask you, Bongi, going down to Bellator, just tell us who's going to be down. Obviously, Brian will be travelling down with you. Who's going to be in your corner?
In my corner will be Brian Gallagher, my coach, and Paul Craig, and Jimmy Gallagher. And
you're Paul Craig, aren't you?
I'm a mere censored version of Paul Craig. Jimmy Gallagher, Brian's brother, who's also one of my coaches, and has helped me prepare a lot for this fight. So it'll be us three and about 200 Holytown ones as well.
So yeah, I was going to say you'll have a decent amount of people travelling down.
Yeah, a couple hundred.
And is Paul looking to take your back if you get the victory down there? Jump the Bellator cage.
We'll see what goes on, man. As long as he's got my back with everything else, I'm all right.
Oh, no, he always will. When is it you're actually... When are you travelling down to Newcastle?
I'm heading down Thursday for the press conference, and I'm just going to start cutting weight then. Thursday night, Friday morning, we're in Friday morning, whoops, I'm out Saturday night. So that's... Then get drunk for about a month solid.
it's as good a plan as any, I suppose. Unless Bellator phone you right after and line you another one up.
Well, I would probably fight if they'd done that, but I doubt it.
Just remember, you've got a Jaffa Cake world record to try and beat.
Aye. What was it, 17? That's easy.
17, aye.
Should do that.
What's the cheat meal of choice the day after the fight to help you with your hangover?
I always say it's like a pizza or cheesecake, but because I'm usually drunk for a couple of days, I end up just heading to McDonald's and getting something stupid, you know what I mean? But I'd like a big, massive pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza, man. Pizza and cheesecake, that's what I love the most.
Just one thing, one last thing before we let you go, Chris. I just want to go back to you're obviously preparing for Terry, but just tell us a wee bit more about the rounds you get in with Peter. I know you said it was basically like a fight with Peter because of the cameras and that there. How much did the sessions you got with Peter in, do you feel helped you and prepared you for Terry Brazier?
Obviously, every time you spar on SPG, it's like fight simulation. So it's like 3-5s or 5-5s with like John Kavner reffing basically in timing. But with Peter, obviously, he's helped me a lot because he's a pressure fighter. But he's a pressure fighter with his hands, where Terry's a pressure fighter with wrestling. So it was still tough. Peter's a great fighter, so he helped me a lot. And we spoke after it about where I was good and what could beat Terry and stuff like that. So it's just his pressure, and he's a great striker. So just the experience of getting the hard 3-5s in with him, and it was good. That's exactly what I needed.
And you, just at this stage leading into the fight with Terry, do you feel as ready as you've ever been going into any fight and as prepared as you could be?
Yeah, I think this is, I'm not going to say all the old cliche thing, like, it's been the best fight camp I've ever had and all that piss that everybody else says. That does my nothing. See the same quote. It's so boring, just change it up a bit. Just be honest, be real. Like, I have had a few niggles, I have had this and that, but When that bell rings, I'll be ready to go. 3 hard 5s. So that's all I know. Fight camps are fight camps. I'm not going to sit here and bullshit and say it's the best one I've ever had, like some fucking fruity boy. But when the bell goes, I'll be standing there. I'll have made weight and I'll be ready to fight. And that's all I know.
And have you heard anything Bellator's are going to be bonuses or?
I don't think they do. I don't think Bellator do bonuses, to be fair.
No.
Nah.
That's something you can maybe try and change.
I don't see this handsome Scottish guy fucking changing the Bellator rules anytime soon.
Well, you can only ask, I suppose.
I'll just annoy them. I'll annoy everybody at this press conference and I start walking about like a pimp, smacking people with baby powder.
I was going to ask, are you going to be taking some talc with you?
Oh, there'll be some Johnson's baby powder sitting beside my can of Monster, that's for sure. If anybody gets out of line, my left hand will look like it's been partying with John Jones all night.
Perfect. Obviously, a pleasure as always. Actually, do you know what? I just want to say, feels a wee bit weird interviewing you because you're doing the podcast. Feels a bit peculiar now.
I must say, Katie, it's good to actually see you since the best thing about that night was that was the day I met you, you know what I mean? That crazy ass shit show, man. I think that's only positive we can take out that. That's the night I met you. And now look at it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Two that's peas in a pod.
And it was the interview with you was the only good thing to come out of the event. And I didn't end up publishing it because I didn't want anyone to know I was there. It was that bad.
That's all right. We'll get another one, didn't I? Don't worry about it.
Definitely.
Good luck
for Newcastle.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck, Chris. It was a pleasure as always, mate.
Cheers, man. You've brightened up my day because I was feeling a wee bit tired there and now I'm all lively. Maybe go and hit the road.
Brilliant. So obviously, Chris Bungard, Terry Brazier, main card at Bellator Newcastle, the 9th of February. Definitely want to watch. It's going to be a fun one. And the press conference on Thursday, again, I think everybody should be tuning in. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be fun.
Fuck Jordy Shore.
And that's how you end it.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night of fights. It's definitely going to be a good night of fights. So obviously we're just lining up our next guest. So we're going to be joined by a young talented amateur bantamweight, believe ranked number one in the country. Mohamed Mokaev. Now, I apologise in advance if I've mispronounced the name. We'll get him on in a moment and we'll continue. You guys are hanging in there. You've been on for a while now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was going to pop away for 1 second. I'm trying to sort out this cough because it's tickling the hell out of me.
Yeah. I've had to let me know if you get any echo from me because I've had to plug in my charger.
Ah,
hello.
We have you. How are you?
I'm good. Oops, 1 second.
That's all right. Take your time. Mohammed, can you just turn your phone in its side so we have you in landscape view?
Yeah. I just back from training. Sorry about late, little bit.
No, don't worry. You're actually not late. You're on. You're perfectly on time. You've timed it beautifully.
Okay, 1 second. Can I put my headphones quick?
Yeah. Put your headphones in. Don't worry. We'll just chat away while you're getting yourself ready.
Okay, 1 second.
So sorry, Katie. You were saying about you don't sound echoey. Sound okay? Sound okay. And you've been having fun on the old Skype machine, Katie.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Thank you very much for joining us, Mohammed. As we were just saying before you come on, you're the number one ranked amateur bantamweight in the country. You're 11-0 at the moment. Recently in November, you just come back from IMAF, where you were successful out there in a gold medal. You're a very well-spoke about prospect in the UK at the moment. So we obviously wanted to get you on and chat about IMAF and just talk about your career to date so far. So I guess we'll start off at IMAF and then we'll work our way back from there. So just tell us, first of all, what the experience was like out there back in November, getting to compete in IMAF and ultimately winning the gold.
Yeah, experience was great. You know, the one problem was when I arrived to an airport, I had to wait 13 hours in airport when I arrived there because my British document is not full yet.
Yeah.
So I had to wait the 13 hours till I messaged the Prince Sheikh of Bahrain, as we contacted before on Instagram, and that I actually had a ticket back to UK deportation at 3 p.m. Well, like 2 hours before they take me out of airport.
Yeah.
So I had the visa, like UK MMA team, they did visa for me, but they didn't understand what was going on with my documents. But when I'm out of airport, it was crazy, like 1 week making weight, fighting every day. First fight, I had a Russian guy from Dagestan. That's where I came from.
Yeah.
All wrestlers and trained since young. And, you know, actually, like, back in Dagestan, people a lot want to see this fight. It was like, people say, if I win this fight, it means, like, I'm in the final. Because mm-hmm. this guy's, like, 2 times a Russian sambo champion, 1 time world champion. And most people maybe want to see me lose because I actually didn't have any MMA fights in Russia. So when I came to UK and start winning, they was saying he gone over that it's easier in UK than Russia, you know. That's what they were saying. It's you beating easy guys, come to Russia, test yourself. So this guy was first guy at IMF's World Championship. So I beat him in 47 seconds first round. And
How nice was that victory for you then? Because I guess that's you almost getting the opportunity to prove to them that you aren't here fighting easy guys, and just showing, I guess, how good you are to the people back home in Russia, Dagestan. So did that victory feel, was that one of your best victories?
Do you know, for me, it was more important than winning gold medal. This fight was, for me, like, more important because, like, in Dagestan, after I beat this guy, everybody's saying, you're in the final, this guy in the final already. So I had next guy from Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is known as boxing because Triple G, Golovkin from there, you know, it's like no one knows as boxing. You know, Pankration, there's a popular in Kazakhstan. So this guy was tough. I think he beat first fight Azerbaijani guy by TKO.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had easy fight first, like easy, like no decision. So I beat this guy unanimous decision. Then I had Mexican guy who beat Northern Ireland by triangle choke. I beat Mexican by unanimous decision. And then we had rest on Friday. We watched Brave FC. Brave FC was on different level. It was a good show. And Friday we had a rest, so my weight gone up. And so next day I have to cut weight again in the mornings. As weigh-ins, every day weigh-ins was 6 a.m., 6 till 8 a.m. And fights, my fights always was at 11 o'clock. So I have to weigh in at 6 every day.
How difficult was it over the week just having to obviously fight so much over the week, but not only that, make that weight? Was that hardening the body?
It was hard. But you know, the thing is, help is good weather over there. It was, they say it's winter, but it was 35 degrees over there.
Well, you're used to UK weather now, so their winter's their summer, so I guess that's not so bad. Something you said at the start when you went over to the IMAF show, how worried were you that you were actually not going to be able to compete out there?
Sorry?
When you went out to IMAF, obviously you had the issue at the start with your visa. Mm-hmm. How worried were you that you weren't going to be able to compete?
Do you know, because I was at airport, I was worrying about my weight because, you know, when you're sitting in airport, actually I couldn't exchange my money because to exchange your money in airports, I think it's most conscious new rules. Like you have to show them passport. So I tried to show the UK driving license and they didn't accept it because the borders took my passport away. And I couldn't exchange to even buy the drink, you know, buy anything. So my weight gone down. So when I came out of airport, I started eating crazy, you know, and my weight goes like up straight away. And I think it's mentally, you know, if you mentally focused coming for the gold, you know, I spent a lot of money to go there. I'm not going there just to see the Bahrain or just to come in a cage. They say my name and I walk off. I'm not going there just to show myself there. You know, I'm coming for gold. You know, any tournament I'm coming like for the win, doesn't matter who in front of me. So I think it's more mentally. Airport effects, you know, all this. And in the final, I had a Japanese guy. He was 9-1 before me. He Oceanic last year. No, yeah, 2018 Oceanic gold medalist. Japanese guy. And I beat him unanimous decision. I didn't lose any rounds, actually, at the World Championships.
So it was almost, apart from the issues with the visa, the IMAF went probably as well as it could have went for you, would you say?
Yeah, you know, only visa issues, that's it. Everything was good.
And overall, going out to, and this is maybe a question as well, if any other amateurs are watching and get the opportunity, how much of a learning experience was IMAF for you? Do you feel you came back from that as a better fighter?
Yes, 100%. You know, after World Championships, have four fights in 5 days, whereas in UK, you maybe have three fights in 1 year.
Yeah.
Maybe like this, sometimes people have two fights in 1 year. You know, it's, you're coming back more confident and you're ready to go to Pro Bowl. 11-0 for me, it's good, but I want some losses too in my amateur career, you know. I actually messaged Nigel Burgess yesterday to go to Thailand for the Asian Open Senior Championships. I want to show myself. I said to him, I believe I win senior level, and he said it's gonna cost a lot, but I've got good people behind me who support me to go to Thailand.
Just from what you said there, it seems like you are, not all fighters do this, but it seems like you're really approaching your amateur career as one massive learning experience, and you want to learn as much as you can before turning pro, because sometimes it feels like amateurs almost rush to go pro. It seems like you're approaching it almost with probably the right mindset. And with regards to pro, is that something you're not even thinking about at the moment?
You know, I believe, do you know, in a pro, you can't make, you know, like people make record 8-0, fight some Portuguese guys, you know, Brazilian, go make a record. But, you know, soon as you go professional, it's not like part-time. You have to be 100% in every morning session, every night session. Injury, you have to have very strong team. You should have documents ready to go to America. So my documents not ready to go to America. That's the main problem. I think they gave me a visa, but you know, America don't like Russian guys. You know.
So. Well, we've seen a bit of a conclusion with Khabib and stuff like that today. So all that finished up today.
$500,000. Yeah.
$500,000, and I believe his suspension will be reduced if he helps with an anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah. So, the jump cost a lot of money, yeah?
Yeah, that is a very expensive jump. $500,000? Goodness gracious me.
Yeah.
But there you go. So I just want to actually maybe go back a wee bit now with you. Just tell us when you first came over to the UK and tell us how long you've actually been training mixed martial arts. From what age did you start?
I came 2012 in UK, you know, when the Olympic Games started in July. And then I started competing 2013, not just competing, just start wrestling here. Well, I've been doing back in Dagestan, you know, but in Dagestan is big corruption, you know. It's like if it doesn't matter how good you are, you're number one all the way, you still have to give money to perform to even at Russian championships, never mind like European or world championships. Whereas in UK, you're number one in UK, you go to world championships, you go to European championships, and you have to pay them, you know. Well, I started wrestling here in Wigan, where I lived. I moved to Manchester now. Start wrestling, competing in wrestling, beating guys, start competing in jiu-jitsu. And then I start beating guys who competed in MMA, you know, beating them in jiu-jitsu, and I feel the strength, and I feel the how what's the main problem in UK. I think main problem is some athletes, half-time athletes, you know, drinking, competing, training. This is no athletes, you know. I don't believe they're athletes. That's why I moved to MMA, and in 2015 I had my debut, Shinobi, and then. I think it's just mentally, I beat guys because I never in my life drank, I never smoke, and I think I go in the cage and I have this one step over them.
So one other thing I would like to ask you about is obviously you've moved over to the UK. Just culturally, how difficult was that change from Dagestan to the UK? Because obviously it's a completely different culture. Was that something you had to adapt to? And do you feel like you've now sort of adapted to the culture over here?
No, for first year, it was hard for me. First year, I didn't speak English. I came to school. My friends was like most from different countries who didn't speak English too. And we'd like talk with the languages like this, you know. But then I start come out of the circle. So I mixed with English, because in England, if you live in England, you have to mix with English culture. You understand the English culture, you know. And I try to learn English every day. Coming back from school, try to learn English. And my English is still bad, but not bad. Okay, yes. You know. But I still want to be in the English style. You know what I mean? Like, because I represent England, I have to know the culture.
Yeah,
I have to be friends with everybody. You know, I don't have this. This Russian guy and this English, in like for example, in the gym, everybody's same for me.
Yeah, and to be fair, with regards to your English is probably better than mine, so you're doing something right.
Is it hard to understand, Mohammed?
Little bit accent, you know.
I am trying. Believe me, I'm.
Is this Scottish? Scottish, right?
Scottish, yes.
But I have a couple of friends Scottish. I don't understand them too.
Yeah. Well, at least it's even with all the Scottish. It's a problem most Scottish people have, but
yeah.
Hey-ho. I also wanted to find out, tell us a wee bit about the gym you train at, your head coach, and just who your main training partners are.
My wrestling coach is Oleg Druzhinets. He's a half Ukrainian, half Russian. He's coaching in the Salford Academy, which is 10 minutes from my house. And my head coach MMA is Dean Garnett and Phil Turner. Well, originally, back in the days, you know, I started at Carbon Wigan, and then I moved to Carbon Liverpool. Not moved, but I was traveling in the morning to Carbon Liverpool and Carbon Wigan at night times. And then you know, sometimes you have changes in your life. So I moved to Manchester. To Salford, and I train here in Manchester in nighttime and in Liverpool in the morning. So I travel every day. And
is that something then? See, just getting those different experiences at different gyms, do you feel that is helping you grow as a fighter?
I think it does. You know, for Aspire Team, is it's you know, they have psychologists. You have, they have a cryo inside the gym. They have a BJJ coach, boxing coach, jiu-jitsu coach. You know, and lots of my weight guys, my partners like Aaron Robinson, like Marlon Jones, Lee McCracken. You know, and whereas in Manchester they have my weight guys as well, and people helping me too. Charlie Bowling, Amir Kasimi, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And with regards to competing going forward, excuse me, is there any shows you would quite like to feature on in the UK? Because obviously we know we've got Cage Warriors Academy shows and stuff like that. Is there anywhere in particular you would like to compete?
I was supposed to fight 1st of December for bantamweight title Cage Warriors. Like, it was 2 weeks after I come back from Worlds. Yeah. Actually, before the World Championships, 2 weeks, I injured my ankle. I couldn't even walk. But the thing is, I spent a lot of time to preparing. I was in Ukraine for one month in Ukraine in the summertime. We stayed in the mountains. There was no internet, nothing. It was crazy condition. It was 1 month in the mountain, running, training every day. And I come back to England and then competing some jiu-jitsu wrestling comps. I went to European Wrestling Championships in Italy after that. But you know, when you spend so much time and you spend about £1,500 for your World Championships to go to Bahrain and you have ankle problem, then you think, I'm going there. You know, I sprayed every fight, spray my ankle and fight and fight like this, you know, all my teammates knows. But for the Cage Warriors, I have to pull out. It was two weeks notice, like I had to pull out.
Is that okay? Sorry, on you go, Chris, on you go.
Just going to ask, speaking of Cage Warriors, initially you were slated to be one of the fighters in the tournament they had earlier on last year. I think it was an 8-man tournament they put on. I was just wondering what happened with that.
It was crazy. They put my picture. They said they tagged me. They used my name to promote, you know, everybody like commenting. And they said, we send them contract. But when I said to Jack Mason, I'm ready to sign contract, he said, there's no space left. Well, I was like too late for it. I didn't understand this actually, but I was ready. You know who won it? I think Jack Eglin won it, or Lee Mitchell. Who won 8-man tournament?
I think didn't Eglin get beaten in the final
by Lee Mitchell, right?
Oh no, that was the flyweight tournament. That was going back a bit further. I thought you meant the one more recently, that finished at Cage Warriors 100. I think Jack Eglin lost
to Nathan Fletcher. Final. Yes, he lost to Nathan Fletcher.
Yes,
first round choke.
Yeah,
but Nathan Fletcher, I've wrestled against Nathan Fletcher in British Championships and in Scotland, there was thrice open. I beat twice Nathan Fletcher in wrestling, but he win MMA fights by wrestling. So if Cage Warriors actually put this fight against me, it's no problem for me, you know?
See, you obviously pay attention to the guys that are round about you in your weight class. Is there anyone you haven't fought yet that you would really like to share the cage with and test yourself against?
You know, it's you know, in UK, it's hard to fight. Find match for me, you know, it's hard. I have to, that's why I'm off. It's best to get experience going, but anybody, you know, it doesn't matter for me, lose, win, you know, this amateur 11 and 0, it doesn't make 11 5, 11 6, it doesn't make difference. The main importance, I won't concentrate on professional, you know, professional, my record gonna be zero all the way. I believe this, but amateur, I want to lose, you know. That's why I asked yesterday Nigel. He maybe think I'm crazy, but he know I'm crazy anyway. You know? But I want senior level, you know, senior level Asian Open, then senior level Bahrain. I want to do it this year, and I understand. I'm 18. Maybe then I accept. But I will ask. My main thing is ask. I want senior level.
Yeah. How demoralizing would that be for the other guys, though? A person born in this millennium going in and ruining them. That would just be heartbreaking.
Was this, sorry?
So you'd be the first person born in this millennium to go in and win a senior title. And that would be heartbreaking because you were born in 2000, weren't you?
Yeah.
You imagine that. That's just one of those mental things that people would really struggle with. You know, because 2000, God, Well, I was 22 in 2000. I remember the year that you were born. But you know, for the guys who are competing, coming up against someone who's so young, it would be heartbreaking. And could I ask you another question, actually? Yeah. Because obviously, we're linked on Facebook, we're linked on Twitter, we have been for a few years now. You chat quite a lot with Ali Abdelaziz.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering what your relationship is with him.
Our relationship is good. In the future, we spoke, in the future, as soon as I go to professional, we can work together. But, at the moment, I don't need manager. I had a lot of people message me. When you have name, a lot of people want to be around you. Why they not message guys who like 3-2, who don't have money, who have to work, a lot of people gonna message me asking for management. They want this money, percentage. There's not many loyal people who tomorrow, if your injury happened, they're not gonna come and feed you, the management is important, but not for me at the moment, because I have I find myself sponsored. I can't speak to any promotion myself. I'm for me, myself manager, But in the future, I understand you need a manager, like when you're getting like maybe 18 or 19 in UFC, maybe, because the paperwork, I don't understand, The paperwork, the only paperwork you need manager for, I think.
So where would you see yourself turning pro then? Because as you said, you're looking to sort out your US visa, which I think is a really sensible way of going.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ali has... it seems to me that every one of Ali's guys just gets title shots in the UFC. The guy has got superb links, but he's obviously he's got PFA. Is that a route that you'd be interested in going down, or would you want to...
PFL.
Is that a route you'd be interested in going down, or would you be interested in... working your way through the UK ranks first of all before looking at the international scene?
PFL is senior. It's not just senior level. The people like 30s, 28, 30 people age competing for $1 million, right? I think little bit maybe too early. I think if they give me this year, I won't work on my boxing this year, and next year I believe I can't even fight. Do you know Demetrius Johnson? I was watching Demetrius Johnson for the last 2 years, maybe every weekend. I believe I know his full game. I believe I can beat Demetrius Johnson. I can beat Demetrius Johnson.
He's over in ONE FC at the moment.
He's in ONE FC. That's good. It's easy to get to the...
Which ONE FC, I've got to say, if you look at their numbers, ONE FC, although a lot of people in the UK may not know them, ONE FC in Asia are massive. And they're... their viewing figures are insane, and they seem like a great promotion, especially for the lighter weights. And just with regards to the money in the PFL, I believe Sean O'Connell won over there, won $1 million, then retired.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, just through the short time we've spoke to you, for an 18-year-old, you seem to have a very, very, very sensible and screwed-on head, and you seem to know where you're going in the future.
Thank you.
And that is one thing you're saying there about Demetrius Johnson. Is that sort of someone you aspire to compete against? And obviously, you do believe you can beat him.
I don't look too up to him, but I believe because he's undefeated. He not undefeated. He was 10 times UFC champion. But that's why I was looking. When you're looking up to the best, then when you're looking a little bit down, it's a bit different mentality,
Is there also something to be said about when you look at Demetrius Johnson, about the way he carries himself as a fighter? Because, as we know, trash talking is a big thing these days. A lot of fighters are going that route, which I'm assuming is not a route you would go down, or would you?
Sometimes I talk, but do you know the main thing? You have to back it up. If you don't back it up once, you don't back up twice. When man say something, he have to back it up. Man say, man do it. Or you lose your trust in a reputation area, because where I come from, and people in UK actually, is where's good. Guys build up. From good family, they understand this. And if you say, you have to back it up. If you don't back it up, you lose your trust. If you lose your trust, you can't buy trust. I think.
So would it be fair to say then that you would quite enjoy if you're competing against someone, or if you're matched and there's a bit of back and forth between you and your opponent, Does that get you maybe a bit more fired up for the fight? And
Yeah, I would say, you know, but if I lose, I have to shoot up and train, you know. I can't talk after this anymore. I can't. I have to get on back winning streak, you know, But I will talk. I will talk when the time
comes. When the time comes. So you're ready for that. What I'd like to do now is, Katie or Chris, is there any questions coming in from people watching?
Is people watching, yeah?
Yeah, people watching, yeah. Yeah, well,
I can't see this.
We are
do you
live.
Want to go first, or do you want me to jump on?
Go on, you far away.
We've got one from Chris Gadden, who says a question for the future champ. Mike, can you help explain the subtle differences between the American style of wrestling we see in the UFC and the Dagestani style that you have?
I think in USA is more the work on physically, whereas in Dagestan the more work on technically, you know, more technique and more technique and tactics, you know, whereas in USA mentally and physically. Well, when there's 50-50 match and the last 15 seconds, I think America can take over, because Americans, like, physically and mentally, they go for it, you know. That's what I believe.
Good. And then, who is the best wrestler in the world?
I think it's Abdul Rashid Sadulayev.
Awesome.
Who would you say is the best wrestler in MMA?
In MMA, I think Rustam Khabilov.
Okay.
Rustam Khabilov.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people maybe would have expected
Habib.
He's
a good. He's good control game. He's not. He's good wrestler. He's more. I don't think if it's freestyle wrestling, Habib. Not that level, but his pressure on the ground and judo, you know, from the clinch is on the best.
Let me ask you a question then about a potential matchup that I don't know if we will ever see it, but obviously an American wrestler who's signed to the UFC, he's set to debut soon against Robbie Lawler, Mr. Ben Askren.
Yeah.
If Khabib moves to 170, how would you see that going? What do you think? Obviously Ben coming from the American style, Khabib Dagestani.
I think Khabib win by split decision.
I think
because the mentally is different. Ben Askren is different mentally. You know, whereas Khabib have, you know when people don't believe Khabib had about 200 amateur fights. I know this. It's true.
Yes, yeah.
It's 100% true. In Dagestan, they fight every weekend. You know, like IMF tournament, they have even more fights, like 6 fights in one day. You know, it's on the mats and like professional gloves, and sometimes one glove is like 10-year-old, you know, it's like one glove is like half empty, you know, they do crazy stuff. That's why it's a lot of injuries in Dagestan fighters.
And, and occasionally wrestle bears, so...
Yeah, bears sometimes.
Have you ever wrestled any bears?
No.
You know there's some crazy promoter out there who's now thinking, that's interesting. we could make a show out of that.
Yeah.
Have we got any more before we let Mohammed go?
No, that's it for now.
Just I don't know if the guys have got any other questions. Just one thing I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
When you look in the future then, for you, maybe at that point you turn pro, what's your ultimate ambition? Is it to be a title holder in the UFC? What's your aspirations going forward?
I want to be UFC champion, you know. I'm going to go for it 100%. I'm going to go. It's my goal from since I started MMA. It's UFC belt. And when I take UFC belt, I defend and then never come back to this game. You know, it's crazy, this game, you know. I never let my kids, you know, in the future come to this game studying. I think I pay for them everything, you know, studying. I think it's...
very, very, very smart way to approach it, I would say. I'll just quickly get your opinion. Obviously, we saw the current bantamweight champion sucking himself down to 125 to compete against Henry Cejudo. TJ, can you give me your thoughts on that fight, and what did you think?
Well, I thought TJ collapsed in the fight. He didn't look recovered, nothing. But when the Cejudo got to 135, he will lose. He will lose. Mm-hmm. It's a different level, you know. Maybe split decision. He'll lose. You know, but Cejudo is good mentally too, because he competed Olympic level. He's mm-hmm. Olympic gold medalist, and when you're competing in Olympic level wrestling, it's like IMF, for example. You know, it's a tournament. When it's tournament, it's the most tournament people don't win because they're good. I think it's mentality. Sometimes people win and they think, "Wow, this guy, the other, you know, from other bracket, he won as well, and he's so good." You know, that people, you know, have the losing mind, and then they lost. You know, And you know, actually, on Thursday, after I beat Mexican guy and I know I go to final on Friday, I was tired, you know, I was crazy. And I messaged my friend and he said, "Listen, your opponent tied as well, you know, the Japanese guy. Mm-hmm. So this go 50-50 then you have to use mentality as well."
Your mentality is such a big part of mixed martial arts and combat sports in general. Having a strong mind definitely helps.
Yeah. No, if your heart not there and mentally you're not ready, no punch bugs, no super gym's gonna help you, nothing gonna help you, you know?
Absolutely. So that's all from me. I don't know if any of the other guys have got anything else you'd like to ask you before we let you go.
No, just best of luck for the future. I'm really excited to carry on watching you fight.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good to speak to you.
And nothing for me either, but thanks for your time, Mo. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
I can give shout-outs to my sponsors, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. The floor is all yours.
Yeah, you know, Twins is big brand in UK, maybe, you know. It's the selling in Foot Asylum is big brand. They're supporting me. Yesterday, I've got a sponsorship offer from Bosso Body Bar, the healthy place in Manchester Centre. Not a good restaurant and a healthy meals. They provide with meals every day, and the Pitbull West Coast with Fightwear and Safe Joe's Nutrition King. You know, these guys all support me towards Bahrain. They support me well, and I think with this team, loyal team, you know, we're gonna go all the way together.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we very much appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing what the future has to you. I'm sure you have a bright future ahead of you. And please, the next time you're booked and you've got a fight, come back on with MMA UK. We'd love to have a chat with you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a great night, yeah?
Thank you, you too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a lovely guy.
Very well spoken, seems to heads in the exact right place. I mean, for a coach to have an amateur fighter like that, that must be a dream to have in the gym, because he really, I don't know if you think it back to yourself at 18, but Jesus. Yeah. And obviously he's a very talented fighter on top of everything else. So, yeah, I think that young man's got a... Sorry?
He's so mature.
You
know,
yeah.
Well, he's a man already. There's no young man about it. He's properly, he's mentally developed. He's so mentally strong as well.
Yeah.
I can't see him losing. You know, people say he's saying I'd like to lose as an amateur. I can't see he's touching him.
It's an interesting thing you said there, though, because I remember I spoke to Decky McAleenan, and he had a very, very good amateur career, and he went pro. And then he lost his pro debut. And what he said is basically everybody forgot about everything he'd done at amateur. But it seems like Mo's really covering all his bases at amateur before he makes that step. Because once you go pro, that's it. That's where you're at.
Yeah. We certainly reached him for the most difficult challenges that he possibly can at amateur. So,
Chris, quickly, I'll actually ask you a question. You obviously manage fighters. Is a guy like Mo, is that sort of, I the perfect kind of guy for you to manage, a guy that knows where he wants to go and
Yes and no, because the problem you've got with Mo, and he touched on that himself, he's only 18, no one wants to fight him because he's impossible to match. So yes, in terms of ability, in terms of marketability, in terms of mindset, 100%. But at this point in his career, what can you actually do with him? You do need him to have built up that pro record, essentially, before you can start pushing him into essentially the global promotions, because he's only going to get chucked in against hometown heroes to start off with. And like you said about Deki, one loss can make a huge difference at the start of his amateur career, and it could take a long while to rebuild that momentum again. So, you know, personally, I'd look at him and I would struggle to deal with him yet. But certainly, you know, further down the line, it'd be something that every manager would be interested in having.
Is tournaments the right way for him to go then? So people don't really have a choice who that, you know, if he can get the promoter to get him into the tournament, then it's kind of potluck who he's fighting.
100%.
Sorry, on you go, Chris.
I was going to say, I think what he's doing with his international, the international tournaments is fantastic, because that just opens up a whole different fighting style for him as well. Yeah. So getting to fight against a guy from Japan, a guy from Mexico, you know, a fellow Russian, you imagine what that does in terms of experience in comparison to fighting in a sports hall in, you know, the greatest respect to sports hall in Manchester or Wigan. It's going to be a world of difference, and that will just progress him as a fighter so much faster.
Even at the tournament level, I mean, you see the amateur level fights pull out at the very last minute. So even in a tournament here, you could get through a first fight, get into a second, and it doesn't happen. Do you know what I mean? But I kind of get the point you're coming from, Chris, where he's at, matching him here. I guess internationally, but obviously matching amateur internationally is difficult and costly.
It is. But he's got a good set of sponsors behind him, though, and that's all self-generated. That's what's so impressive with him as well. You know, to actually be able to have the mindset to actually go out and do that. Because certainly in MMA, with fighters, you see so many of them, they're so confident inside the cage, but outside of the cage, it's completely alien to them. And actually having those conversations with businesses, which is something that they're just not used to, and certainly 18-year-olds aren't used to, to actually generate that. It's not just items and clothing, it's to actually generate income as well, to allow him to train. That just sets him apart from so many people. He's a little phenomenon, that guy.
Bright future ahead, though.
Very, very, very bright. The only thing I think that's stopping would be injuries.
Yeah, which unfortunately is something that doesn't matter how good you are, happens to everyone, I guess, or it can happen to everyone. Mm. So let's hope for the best for him going forward.
Yeah, very much so.
Brilliant. I don't know what we're at with schedule. What we've got.
But I'm not sure who's sending in the link. So shall I just... I'll check with Peter and Frankie who's sending in the link.
Yeah. I'll be on for about another 15 minutes. Then I have to shoot out.
I know
he's
watching, that's the thing.
So you guys, are you excited for the Newcastle card then?
Oh, super excited, yeah. Yeah.
Press conference tomorrow and we can find out what's happening TV deal-wise.
Oh my God, you know that I will actually chill out, but if they tell us that we're getting it, Frankie sent the link, awesome. I'm not going to relax. I know you've told me that we will be getting it, but...
We will get that. Bear in mind that I know with the Fedor fights, there's going to be separate TV deals. You're not going to have the same TV deal for Europe and American shows. It's not going to... So Europe will have its own, especially the UK. We'll have something set up.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what yet, but it'll be on live. It's not like waiting till the next day. I think you can't read too much into how the TV works in American shows here. Because it is going to be different. I don't know what you think. How the deal
from Bellator to explain to me why we can't have the American ones live. I still don't really get my head around it.
They're probably not going to come out and explain that. I don't know if that's because of an old TV deal that maybe they've still got going on. But I guess the only upside is it's not like the UFC where I know we're lucky we don't pay pay-per-view, but you do have to get subscriptions for different things. So I'm assuming going forward, but I think Bellator are focusing in Europe because they probably see there's a gap in the market here, especially in the UK, where they could maybe exploit.
Yeah, and they've kind of taken the place and taken a lot of the fighters from Bama, which was obviously feeding them to a degree, from the European side. So I guess they wanted to, with Bama seemingly off the scene at the moment, they maybe wanted to make sure that you know, didn't dry up, kind of thing.
Do you think the UFC London card is a response to what Bellator are doing in the UK?
I think they actually do not consider Bellator a threat at the, well, certainly not a peer at the moment. I actually think we've just got really lucky with just the stars aligning with us having some great talent in the UK at the moment, and most of them being ready to fight again. And I just think that we've got, What do you think then?
I think the UFC probably should be worried about what Bellator are doing in the UK.
Oh, I didn't say they shouldn't be worried.
I know what you're saying. I think they should be, because it seems like that Bellator are going out and signing a lot of guys. I know not everybody's on multi-fight deals. It seems like they're going out there and scooting up a lot of talent that maybe the UFC would look at down the line a wee bit.
Yeah.
Personally, I love it. I love it. If we get more shows here and good shows on where I don't have to set my alarm for 3 a.m. or stay up from 1 to 6, that shit is gone, man. I'm 35 as fuck now, so soon to be a year older. So if I can come home from work and then sit maybe at 8 o'clock at night and just chill out and watch fights to a reasonable time, and good fights at that, I'll be happy. Plus, it's good for us as well.
The more competition, the better, I think. But,
And what you'd like to think ultimately what it does as well is it maybe makes it financially beneficial for fighters here that happens. That's, I guess, it's something that I would like to see as well. Because fighters are very, very underpaid, obviously. Ridiculous. So what's your take on the whole thing, Chris?
I don't think that the UFC are viewing Bellator in the UK as a threat purely because the UFC don't care about the UK market as much. If I'm being blunt, because they don't get a pay-per-view money from us, they don't really need to compete with Bellator in the UK. So whilst we've got a really good UK card coming into London, that's purely because they've just got a lot of UK fighters on the roster, and it's not going to cost them as much money to put them on a London card as it would to fly them out to the States a week beforehand and put them up in hotels and so on and so forth. So I think we've just been quite lucky in that respect. Bellator is certainly making a huge play for the European market. They've seen it as a real opportunity for them. There's not just the UK. They've got there's the Italian show they did as well. They've got the kickboxing events that they do too, which seems to do very well on mainland Europe. So I think it's a smart move by Bellator, because like you said, European fighters are drastically underpaid. So Bellator coming in and offering, now what is for UK fighters is life changing money, but in comparison to a lot of, UFC wages is a drop in the ocean, really, in a lot of cases, apart from the people at the very upper echelons, your Braziers, your Fabian Edwards, those types of people, they're earning different levels of money to the vast majority of the people, I'd imagine, on the on the standard Bellator cards. But, Bellator are essentially making... they're building a base across Europe. And it's great for us, it's great for us, for our fight scene. It's great for our fighters to actually be able to professionally fight. It's great for us to be able to get, once they get this TV deal, which I'm sure, looking at the people they've taken from Bama, they've taken the matchmakers, so they make sure they get the very best of the talent across Europe. They've taken the CEO who has from a TV background, which is surely for TV deals. I think they've laid very good foundations for them to become the dominant force on a continent.
And also, you've got to read out the fact that, if we remember rightly, when Bellator Bama Cross promoted, that was on ITV as well. So
It was ITV4, yeah. You know, Bellator have always got the backup option because they're under the same umbrella as Viacom, and Viacom own Channel 5. So there are the Channel 5 channels. So if they haven't arranged a TV deal yet, they can still show, surely they can still show live on, you know, main Channel 5, 5 Star, any of the five channels. And they're not going to have a Peppa Pig incident again because of the timing. So yeah. There is always the fallback option, but I'm sure they're looking for deals with other networks so they can actually make some income from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A couple of comments on Facebook about it. Somebody saying that Cage Warriors should be more worried than the UFC. I certainly think with, you know, like local promotions, it's actually really hard to match people because Bellator have kind of swallowed up everybody in the area, regardless of their record in some cases.
The other thing I'd like to say as well about Bellator, now I know we won't get specifics, but there's guys that are in for one fights and they're making very good money. It's not just, I know you're obviously your Fabians, your Terry Braziers and guys like that are going to be on serious money, but at the lower level of the UFC, let's get real, the money's not great.
Well, actually, that's the next comment, which how much do you think UFC debut guys should get? That comment's from a guy who's amateur at the moment, and he's a flyweight, so I imagine...
And he's talented as hell as well, isn't he? I've just seen the...
Super talented. He's actually on the Rise of Champions card, the next one on March the 2nd at the Brentwood Centre. So
worth going just to watch him.
Yeah. I'll tell you...
Fighting the flyweight belt.
I'll tell you what he should be getting. They need to do away with this winning show. I think that's a lot. I hate that winning show. You should get paid. I mean, that's a ridiculous way to pay anybody. You get half your wage if you don't win in a sport, in a fight where only one person can win. That should be the first thing that could be done away. I guess it depends on the fighter that's coming in and how much the UFC are paying, because I'm sure the pay structure is slightly different for everybody to sign. So it's a hard one to answer. You should be getting paid as a hell of a lot more than you are anyway for what you're doing.
What they're contracted to pay as well isn't always what they get. I know a lot of people who are on good terms with the UFC have quite often said that Dana or someone at the UFC has given them a check afterwards for a lot more money than they were contracted to fight for.
Yeah, but that's a promoter controlling. I'll be quite honest, that's bullshit. Yeah, that's unfair because you like, it's like, let's say your normal day job, let's say you've got a boss and you and a co-worker both do the same job, both bust your arse, but your boss happens to like the co-worker a bit better, so he pays them more. What other walk of life does that happen? That's bullshit, to be honest.
Well, I guess though, when I'm at work and I feel like I've worked super hard, but I'm doing the same job as the person next to me, and I've really put in a lot more effort and done a lot of this year, I end up, we get the same bonus because we're the same job role, rather than, no, actually, I put on a better display for you this year. Maybe I should get more of a discretionary bonus.
But you get that with win bonuses, though, don't you?
Yeah, we're not talking...
No, sorry, win bonuses, performance bonuses, don't
there's,
you?
There's winning. Aye. Getting a win, and then there's doing something spectacular, I think.
But that sort of wasn't what we were talking about there, was if let's say Dana, for example, likes a fighter more than the other. I get when it comes down to performance and work, the harder you work, the better you perform, you get discretionary bonuses, but getting paid more based on whether a promoter likes you or stuff like that, I don't agree with that.
Fair enough. Another comment asking if ACA could be a threat to Bellator or UFC.
Nope. No, not at all. I don't think there's an issue.
They just need to get their own shit together.
Well, people bang on about you know, the ownership, the question marks over the ownership. But let's be honest, when it comes to money, money talks, and I think that anyone will fight on the show if they pay them enough. But realistically, ACA, they know that their power base is in Russia, the Caucasus, Eastern Europe. That's where they're going to put the majority of their time and money. I can't see them coming over to Western Europe and even trying to displace the incumbents, let alone the globals.
I mean, they obviously tried it. I guess with promotion, if you look around the world, every promotion's got footholds in different parts of the world. ONE FC are really going strong in Asia, EFC in Africa, UFC is probably are the global one, obviously. And then I guess the big thing that Bellator have got behind them is Viacom, which is a nice backer to have behind you.
Mm. 500 million reasons. Yeah. Going back to what the question about Cage Warriors, should they be worried? I actually don't think they should. Because whilst Bellator have snapped up a load of people, the opportunities are finite. There's only so many shows that they're doing. Here we go. Just finishing up. I think that Cage Warriors have a position where they are the national show in the UK at the moment. They've signed a lot of decent fighters, so I think there's still a hell of a lot for them to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
But we're now joined by probably the person who, even though he fights out of Lincolnshire, just encapsulate exactly what Yorkshire is about. If you want a picture of Yorkshire, you'd have a picture of Johnny Brocklesby. He's literally the most double-hard bastard that I've ever seen in a cage. So thanks for coming on the show, Johnny.
Now then. Can you see me?
Yeah, we can see you.
I can't see you.
That's probably a bonus, mate. Oh, you've just gone off.
Oh. Maybe somebody's called him or something.
I haven't been able to see him yet.
He popped on initially and then he's popped back off.
They were just saying that he was having a problem with the link, but they're not sure what's going on, so hopefully we can get him back.
Well, there was no way we were going to get through a show without one issue. it's like an MMA UK standard thing. We have at least one issue. Show goes great and then we get something that happens. It's almost like a tradition. I would be worried and I would have to go out and check my car mat in the morning if everything went perfect. I feel like that's a bad omen.
The thing is, Peter's asking if he's got crap Wi-Fi, but he's been watching on Facebook for quite a lot of the rest of it.
Yeah, YouTube and Facebook are a wee bit different when you're joining. Your Wi-Fi needs to be a bit stronger going on to YouTube. So I've had a few issues in a hotel in my past trying to do a YouTube video.
Right,
it was late at night. I was drunk, so...
So whilst Johnny's trying to sort this out, going back to the Bama card, which do you think is going to be your potential fight of the night?
For the Bellator?
Sorry, the Bellator card, yeah.
Oh. I think Fabian and Lee Chadwick can be, I think that's going to be fun. The reason being is, Fabian is super tough, but Lee is not going to be an easy guy to get out of there. And what I want to see, obviously, Fabian is super confident and he's super talented, no question about it. I want to see what happens if he does throw everything at Lee and can't get him out of there, because Fabian hasn't been that far in the fight, and I want to see how he reacts to that. I think he's a really, really talented fighter, but I think this is, I know he said he'll get it done in a round, but I think this is going to be a tough fight. And obviously Lee's got the experience. That's probably the fight I'm looking forward to the most is Terry and Chris. I'm really looking forward to that. But I think Lee and Fabian could potentially be fighting tonight. But there's some great fights in the undercard as well. What about you, Chris? Is there any particular fight you're looking for?
That's exactly the same. I've got... So one of the guys I manage, David Kauser, who fought in Bama throughout his pro career. He's doing some one-to-one training with Fabian at the moment. And... we're talking today and he was just waxing lyrical about just how sharp Fabian is, how on point he is. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Lee was talking on another podcast about his bone density the other day. I was listening to him talking about how, what was it he said? He said, that the doctors reckoned that he has the bone density of someone who's been in about 100 car crashes, which I just thought was crazy to it. So that coupled with his experience and his strength, it will be it'll be certainly Fabian's toughest challenge to date. Mm-hmm. I still think Fabian does it, but it'll be fun to watch.
I think the only question is it's a big step up, and you know, like, we haven't seen him tested against somebody that tough yet and that durable. That's my only question. I still think he's going to win as well, but that's the only question mark for me.
It's the beauty of the sport, though. Fabian's obviously an up-and-coming talent, and he's somebody a lot of people are looking at who has got a massive future. But let's just look at a recent Bellator card. We had Aaron Pico on, who is probably one of the biggest prospects in MMA at the moment, or previous to that, and it just shows you what can happen in the sport. I think it was always going to be, that was definitely going to be his toughest fight, and obviously it was a bad KO.
I think fight IQ though with Fabian's very different. Fabian's been brought up with Leon around him, so you know, having a brother who's a top 10 fighter in his weight division in the UFC. And looking at the people he trains with Tom Breeze, he trains with Yannick Bahati, you know, he trains with some high level guys, so he's just been surrounded by greatness and that level of maturity all of his career. So and Fabian, like with Mo beforehand, Fabian for a young man has got a very, very old head on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. He's such a sensible, level-headed young man, he's not going to rush to try and get the finish, because that's what let Pico down. Pico just smelt blood and he just went straight at him. Fabian, I think, will take his time. And if he can't hammer Chadwick out, I think he'll just look to take him apart.
It's going to be fun, though.
Indeed, it is.
Have we got him back on?
We have, yes.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Johnny.
Now then.
Chris, you were doing such a great introduction before.
So could you?
I think you missed it all.
Could you hear me, Johnny?
No, I missed it.
Okay, well, I'll do it again just for you. So, even though you fight out of Gainsborough, which is Lincolnshire, you essentially encapsulate everything which Yorkshire's about. So, if you want a picture of Yorkshire, literally look at Johnny Brocklesby. You've got to be the hardest guy that I've ever seen in the cage. I've watched you fight a couple of times on Almighty, and I wince when I watch your fight. You know, it's one of those ones where if you're hitting someone or someone's hitting you, it's coming with a thunder. It's always an enjoyable matchup whenever you're in the cage, and you know, you always bring the crowd as well as bring the thunder. So thank you very much for coming on, and obviously you're fighting on a hello, Katie. You're fighting on Almighty in March. How's things going in preparation for your fight?
It's going well. I'm only 2 weeks into the camp, but I don't really stop training. So my wrestling I keep the same. I train out of Lubo Cumbrough's. I'll be heading back over to Scunthorpe Boxing Academy under Ryan Vickers. The camp's going well.
Excellent. So you've got a bit of a history with fighters from Aspire. The last time I saw you fight was against a fighter from Aspire, and it's a conversation that Ray and I had last week on the show. Yeah. So to anyone who didn't see, Almighty Six, Johnny fought against a guy called Ben Crawley. And it was 3 minute rounds, wasn't it? Because it was still an amateur fight. So for 9 minutes and about 7 seconds, you beat the living crap out of this guy. I don't know how he even stayed standing. He was wobbling all over the place. He was wobbling in between rounds. You just literally put it on him constantly for this period. Then out of nowhere, it wasn't an Imanari roll, it was just like a fall in a roll, and he just fell into this position where he managed to catch you in a knee bar 11 seconds into the fourth round, which
I think it was a messed up heel lock, spinning heel
is lock. That is that what it was it? All I saw was him just fall and grab your leg, and he just it was like the stars aligned, and he just got you in this position. I don't know whether it was just instinct, because I don't know how he's still thinking at that point because of the beatdown you put on him. The crowd went silent, and unfortunately, you lost that fight. But now you're fighting against his teammate, Jay Mugen. Does that bring a bit of extra spice to it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, really. It was, well, I lost my title. And to be fair, that made me go on a bit of a rampage, because it was just after that that I went to Cyprus, won the international title. I came back from Cyprus. I can't remember his name. What's his name? From Aspire.
Well, the lad that...
Who won the title?
Oh, Ben Crawley.
Ben Crawley, yeah. He pulled out the fight. So Ray messaged me, see if I wanted a shot at my belt, and I took it on a week's notice.
Blimey. And so since then... Go on, carry on, sorry.
And look, we have it. Got my title back.
An excellent way to finish your amateur career.
Spot on, perfect, yeah.
So you turned pro, you beat Jay Watkins in your pro debut at lightweight on Almighty again, Almighty 10. So you're 1-0 now as a pro. Okay, looking at Jay, sorry, I don't know if it's cough or a chest infection, but either way, I'm sounding awful. So looking at Jay Mugen, Jay on paper doesn't have a great record, but you look at the people he's lost to. You know, two of the three people he's lost to are fighting on Bellator in the next month, Richie Smullen and Kieran Lister. So what do you think Jay brings to the table?
He's definitely going to come prepared. I mean, I don't think he's fought for a year, so he's going to have massive improvements. I was meant to fight him in November, but he may have had an injury. So this is actually the second time I've been matched up with him. Ray offered me the fight for March and I took it. So the fight goes ahead.
Excellent. So you always have a big crowd with you as well. How's the ticket sales going?
Well, we're 7 weeks out. 7 weeks out and about 26 gone. So,
already?
Already.
Not bad.
So pretty much you're going to be taking over the O2 again then?
Oh, yeah. G-Town Army. We're round the block.
That you are, actually. You are. So you had a four-year amateur career. It's quite long, actually, in the UK MMA these days. Now you turn pro. What's your dreams? Where do you think you're going to go from here?
I mean, I don't know. I ain't really thought that hard. If I'm honest, I just do it because I like it. I just love it. So I've got no injuries. I've got nothing. I'm fit. I'm healthy. So I'm just gonna see how far I can get with what time I've got left.
How old are you now, Johnny?
37.
Ah, still young in the game. Still young.
I ain't got many miles on the clock, have I? Four years in.
So you can keep going, certainly to my age, at least.
Wait, how old are you?
41, mate. Yeah. Shut it, Katie. Honestly, the cheek of it. So, Almighty, then. So you've had the vast majority of your fights on Almighty. Talk to us about Almighty's promotion.
Well, it was at the O2 Academy. That's where we began, and it's a real good venue, and it's run Stephen Ray. The spot on the good promoters. I enjoy working with them.
And it seems to be that your team seems to be following you on as well, because we had Dan on last week. He's headlining the next Almighty card, isn't he? So. It looks to me like like you're building up a bit of an army on Almighty. So we've had a message come in, a couple of messages come in actually. Ray's watching, so if you want to give him a wave. Ray's asked Johnny about fighting in Cyprus last year. So how did that come about? And just run us through it.
Right, Ray, I became Ray's champion, and he gave me the opportunity to go to Cyprus to fight for the international title. I lost my title, and I wanted to get a win before going out to Cyprus, but I didn't have enough time. So I was like, I'll just go and see how I get on. Because after you've lost two, maybe, yeah, it was a back-to-back loss, that. So yeah, you're not full of confidence, you know what I mean? So it was a big risk, because that would have been my third loss if I'd gone out there and lost that. But it was the start of a new era. I trained harder, I worked harder, and won the international title, come back, won my belt back, and I just got to keep the momentum going. I just got to keep the winning going. So I'm on 3-fight win streak now. So just going to try and keep the momentum going.
Peter Knox has asked you, Johnny, if you could fight anyone in the world, who would you batter?
It's a tough one.
How about your weight class?
My weight class?
Yeah, your weight class now. Anyone in particular you'd love to get in the cage with and have a tear up with at your weight class?
Well, I'd like to get Ben Crawley back. But I don't know. I've just turned pro, so I ain't really looked at a lot of people, to be fair.
No, I'm jumping out. You're not looking at the upcoming Bellator card, and no particular Geordies on there that you'd be interested in fighting.
I know what you're getting at. Yeah, why not?
What do you reckon, Brocklesby versus Chalmers?
Yeah, why not?
How does that go down?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Katie, have you got any questions for Johnny at all? Sorry.
I'm good with that. See if he's up for it.
Well, have you got any of your teammates fighting on Bellator?
Yeah. On Bellator, no.
Okay, I'm sure. I know Ray's got a couple of fighters on there, so if he's going up there to watch, we'll ask Ray if he can have a little quiet word and see if we can line that up for the next time they come back to Newcastle.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Katie, have you got any questions for Johnny at all?
No, I don't. Aaron Chalmers, he seems to get brought up all the time, doesn't he? There's a queue of people that he certainly won't run out of people to fight. No, we're up to date with the questions on here. Apart from Ray has commented that you knocked your opponent out with a slam and silenced the crowd. What fight was that?
That was the Cyprus fight. They weren't too happy about it. it was his own test. We kind of flew in there, slammed him. Well, got a feel for him first round. Went out into the second round. I wondered if he'd throw the same kick as he did the start of the first round, and he did, which helped the takedown that I had in mind, and the slam was pretty much, well, we was both airborne, so the slam, I'm pretty sure the slam knocked him out before the submission.
Jeez.
So, a Cypriot crowd similar to Brazilian crowds then, are they just like, fiercely loyal to the...
Yeah, they weren't happy.
You look so, completely about that.
So after this fight,
I don't think they'll invite me back.
keep the belt and don't bother. So after this fight, how many more times would you like to fight this year?
Two. There's a card going on the Sheffield Arena. I'm trying to get on that for summer.
And what show's that on?
I'm not sure. It's just what I've been speaking to my coach about. But I'm.
Is this an MMA UK exclusive, eh, Johnny?
I think it's Cage Steel.
Okay, cool.
And then I'll be probably looking at Almighty again for the end of the year. So two more. And two more.
So at what point do you think you can start calling for a title shot then on Almighty to add a pro title alongside your amateur one?
Win the next two. And I will speak to Ray.
Ray, you watch it. We know you're watching, Ray. So, Ray, if you want to pop a comment in, will Johnny get a title fight when he wins his next two? This is the question. Don't let the fans down now, Ray. And that is one thing. Steve's always very quiet,
Johnny,
actually.
You've got a day job as well. Sorry.
I do, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is my hobby.
What do you do?
I work.
So, what's the day job?
I work at Scunthorpe Steelworks.
In where, sorry?
Scunthorpe Steelworks.
Okay.
Is that on your feet or on your backside all day there?
Feet.
Okay. I was talking to Tony Mustard earlier on.
Is that balancing training with an active job as well? Is that full time?
Yeah, sure.
So how often do you get to train?
I do my morning runs, then I'll go to work. And then I'll get home, get bathed, and then I'll head out to training. And then I also travel as well. But work lets me leave early. So I have for my one-to-ones that I have. I have a one-to-one in Lincoln. That's an hour away. They are good. They let me leave early and focus on my training, especially when I'm in camp.
Yeah.
But they do. If they do get busy, they say, "Yeah, can you not book a fight?"
God, I find it incredible the amount of people we talk to, Chris, who are still doing not just working full time. That's exhausting anyway. But really active jobs. It's insane to be training that much as well, and then to fight three times a year. You know, you're fighting as many times as the most active UFC fighters, and holding down probably family life as well. It's just, it never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. Well, work for the wife and three kids, and then I'll do this for me.
What do you cut down from, Johnny? In terms of weight, what do you walk around at normally?
About 83, unless it's Christmas. No,
so you walk around at 83 and you cut down to 70?
Yeah, 74.
At 37?
74.
Yeah, but at 37 years old?
At 37, yeah.
Yes, that's impressive, because the thing is, as I well know, as you get older, it becomes harder to cut.
Yeah. I ain't done it a lot of times though. 15 times. What have I had? 15 fights.
Doesn't that make it harder?
Well, I don't know what it's like when I was 20, because I didn't do it when I was 20. So
yeah, true.
It would have probably been easier. But it's okay.
Just as well you don't know then.
Yeah, maybe. Because then I'll be feeling old, won't I?
I'm looking through the feed and we're not getting any more questions, and I noticed Ray's gone noticeably silent now. He's not risen to the bait, so we'll keep doing it. So Katie, unless you've got any other questions, I'd say, Johnny, is there anyone you want to give a shout out to?
just my coach Dan, Justin, Lubo, Cormabrov, Ryan Vickers, everyone that helps me join my camp really.
And any sponsors you want to add on at all?
I don't have a lot of sponsorship at the minute.
That's something we need to change.
Effective sponsorship.
Get behind Johnny Brocklesby, honestly.
Yeah, man.
And if anyone wants to buy tickets to your fight, how do they get in touch with you?
Facebook. Add me. Add me on my Facebook. Message me.
Excellent.
Got about 30 left.
I'm sure Ray can send you out some more.
I'm sure.
So brilliant. Okay, well, if that's the case, then I think we're probably going to wrap up now because time is ticking. Where are we now? It's coming up to 10:45. So,
yeah, man. Good to speak to you.
You too, and thank you very much for coming on the show, Johnny. And good luck in your second pro fight.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. Bye.
I don't know where Katie's gone. Katie, if you disappeared, and it seems to just be me. Yep, I think it is. So. I think we're going to wrap up now anyway. I'm certainly going to wrap up because I'm exhausted and it's been a long show. So thank you very much, first of all, to my co-hosts, to Katie Hunter and to James Hamilton. Thank you to all of our guests. So Owen Gallagher, to Tony Mustard. God, who else have we had on the show? It's been so long. We had Mohamed Makayev as well. Obviously, Johnny Brocklesby. Who have I missed? Chris Bungard. How could I forget the bad guy? Thank you very much to the bad guy, Chris Bungard. And thank you to those of you who stuck around right until the very end. So this is Chris Emmanuel signing out for MMA UK. You can get in touch with me via... Katie's coming back on. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at @Chris_BRAM_. So that's my fight management company, Battle Ready Athlete Management. You can get me on Instagram @BattleReady. You can get me on Facebook @BattleReady. And Katie's back just in time to say where you can get in touch with her. So over to you, Katie.
I'm @Coppers_MMA on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm Katie Hunter on Facebook.
Brilliant. So thank you very much, everybody. And I think that's a wrap.
Thanks so much. Thanks to all the guests as well.
Thanks. Bye-bye.